United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Caleb, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Now, let me do it better than that. Six, it is there. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. How's that? I said 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. You didn't even correct me.
No.
Jeez, oh, man. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. And you're here listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Sticks and I are here in the studio. And I am, that was a young man by the name of J.J., Jeremy Green. Don't know where he's out of yet, but he plays electric violin. And I found somebody sent it over to me last night on my Facebook page, and I just thought it was very, very, you know, I like the happy song. I like the happy song with the words, but I have to say that does not look like it might have been easy to learn.
No, that looks like that's pretty hard.
Yeah, he looked like he put some time in. That's some skill.
Is that a violin or a fiddle?
That's a violin.
Is there a difference between a violin and a fiddle?
Yeah, I believe so. Don't know what, but I think so. I think the length. But that's an electric violin. There's also, I'm going to play another guy today, and he plays a violin also, and I was very, very. See, Bill just said he was going to suggest that I use that on my show today. See?
Oh.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play another guy. He's playing CeeLo's Crazy, and it's an electric violin. And I like when you take things that are popular and you culturalize them and make them into something a little bit different. The number is 347-945-5229. I've got a guest that's going to call in, I think, at the bottom of the hour. But I want to, I've got something to say. And I thought about this on the way in, and I'm quite sure Sticks will agree with me on this one. I was thinking about men and women and families and husband and wives and people when they're young and they get married. And I was thinking about someone that I knew and what happens when they don't have men in their lives, especially young men, to teach them how to be a man. And even though that you have males around, that doesn't make them men. And when you decide that you're going to take on a family and when you decide that you're going to make a baby, but when you decide to take on a family, it is imperative that we begin to teach our young men as they're growing up, are there boys as they're growing up and as they're young men as they're growing up and the males that are growing up, that it is their responsibility to take care of their family when they take it on. And I was thinking about the older statesmen of our generation and our ancestry, both black and white. I was watching something yesterday, and he said, an older veteran, and he said that he had a lot of problems when he came out of the military. And he wasn't treated fairly, but he didn't have a choice. He couldn't lay down because he had a family to take care of. So he just went to work and did what he had to do to make sure that his family was fed. And I look today, and our young people are coming back from the military, but our young people that have never been in the military are not raising to the level of responsibility as young men, nor young women, but I'm going to get to them in a minute, but as young men. And what is happening is, You fall in love and you try to do the right thing. And I'm talking to the right folks. I'm not talking to the crazy ones out there selling dope and just acting crazy. I'll get to you in a minute. But I'm talking to the ones who are good young men who are trying to do something right, and they're trying to marry the girl, trying to take on a family, trying to do it in a proper way. And you get married and you decide that you didn't go to school, you didn't get a degree, you're not in a full-time job, and you get married. And you lose your job, and you decide that you're going to go back to school again, and because this is something that you always wanted to do. And I think that's very, very admirable, but you have a family to feed. So you need to find the means to feed the family and then the top to and have your wife support you and help you as you try to go to school. But you don't drop out of the workforce, go find something that will not survive and will not take care of your family, and then go do that while you're trying to get your degree and put all the pressure on her while she takes care of you and them, and then think it's going to work because it's not.
I totally agree.
And so we need to start having conversations about this, because what's happening in our infrastructure is that we are we're doing this so backwards. And because we are not teaching our young men how to work and have a work ethic, no matter what. So no matter what it takes to make sure that you get money in your pocket that's legal, you go out and do it. So you might scrub floors all night long, and you might paint walls all day long, but whatever it takes to make sure that your family is fed and your family is taken care of, we need to instill that back in them. But also, on the flip side of this, young ladies, we're going to have to start working out and being better at what we do, which means we need to be wise. See, young men, when you marry a girl, you need to know the difference between a wife and a girlfriend. The girlfriend is the girl you date. The wife is the one that you marry, and she has to become a wife, which means a wife takes on responsibilities to make sure that the family is secure and the family has nourishment, and it supports you. She is there to support you in what you do. But if you're not doing anything and she's doing everything, then she's not supporting you. You're supporting her, and that is a bad role reversal. That doesn't make a wife. That makes a husband who looks like a woman, and that is a problem. So I wanted to get that off my chest because I'm looking at some great young men who are destroying their families because they don't know and because the older men don't know how to teach them and don't know what to tell them because they're no better than they are, that it's time for us to grow up and take responsibility for our own lives and could waiting for somebody to come and save us because they're not. Hey, Gastix, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. We forget that the World War II generation.
That's what I was talking about when I said the young man that I heard talking about.
The World War II generation came home from the war, and they got their GI Bill benefits to go to college. 90% of those guys worked a job and went to college.
Yes, they did.
Because the GI Bill paid for the college, but they didn't buy no groceries. So those men worked a job. All the ones that I know that went to school on a GI Bill, they all worked a job. If they had families especially, they all worked a job and went to college. And somehow we've divorced ourselves from that concept of going to school and working at the same time.
No, I don't mind working and going to school. Some of them are working and going to school. The problem is what they're working doing doesn't pay the bills. You can't work at a call center.
You can't work at a call center.
You have to make you got to make money. You got to take care of your family. And let me say this, men, you need to quit depending on women for the supplement the household income.
Right.
And wives, you need to quit women. You need to quit asking men to step up so that you have everything. You can shop every day, hold on to all the things you want that are natural because make you have to work. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against women working. And I'm not against men having support from their wives. That's not what I'm saying. But men need to quit depending on women for their income, for their family's livelihood.
How much of that though is societal pressure to live beyond our means?
That's not the point. It's not about even living beyond your means. There's no societal pressure in this. We have not grown up in America to become women and men and husband and wife.
I mean, you know, my father's generation, it was a slap in the face if your wife went to work. It was absolute. You weren't a good provider if your wife was working and you had kids at home. After your kids were raised, that was a different story. But if you had children at home, my father's generation, it was a slap in the face if your wife went to work.
That will never happen. That will never come back again.
No, I don't think it will either.
But what I'm saying is making your household income based upon what your wife makes is not a good recipe for success.
Because you
never know what's going to happen when you begin to have children. You never know what's going to happen when you walk into family and as things evolve. And if you're depending on her for your livelihood and she has to work and she has to take care of your children, she has to have your baby, she has to take care of them. You don't know what's going to happen with that. And putting that pressure on her does not make for a happy life. She's supposed to be an additive, not the necessity.
And contrary to popular belief, or my wife has said more often than not, the women after they have babies do not want to leave that child and come back to work.
That is correct. Most of them.
Most women.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's okay for her to be able to say, you know what, I think I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go do something else, or I'm going to go find something else so I can have more time to take care of my family. But you can't ask her to work 40, 60, 80 hours a week, come home, take care of you, take care of the house, take care of the family, and then think she's going to become a good wife, because that's not going to happen, nor a good mother, nor rear your children in the way that they need to be reared by their family.
Well, it's hard to be a good mother or father if you're exhausted.
That's correct. But there's a difference between a man and a woman.
Right.
A man is exhausted. He comes home, and he will pet the kid on the head. But a mother is the one who actually nurtures the child.
Right.
And they need that. They need that mother there for navigation. Hey, good morning, Alabama.
All right, now, I need to give a disclaimer. I'm not sexist or anything like that. But women, I think they need to understand that it's not the 1800s. So you don't have to walk to the river to get some water and, you know, get on the buggy and ride, you know, 3 hours into town. And 'cause then, yeah, it's a full-time job being a mom. But if you can go and work a 9-to-5, get off work, come home, and dinner could be sitting hot, cooked on the table in 30 minutes, and the dishes can be washed in 5-10 minutes, like it used to, like, you know, whereas in the long time ago it took you all day to prepare a meal and wash clothes and do stuff. I think women are, the society's kind of grown selfish for women lately.
Hey,
I just think.
Alabama.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, Alabama, my sister's got an accounting degree. And when they decided to have children, she sat down and she did the math. And it would end up costing them money for her to go to work. If a woman's running her house the way a woman should run her house, it is a full-time job. My sister will spend 4 hours grocery shopping. Absolutely.
But this is my listen to what I'm saying. Nobody has to spend 4 hours grocery shopping.
Yes. If you do it right, it takes 4 hours.
No, it doesn't.
My wife takes 4 hours.
I don't care how long you guys take. It doesn't take 4 hours to do grocery shopping.
If you're buying the bargains,
if you're doing it right, you can plan a grocery store shop. And there's better ways to skin a cat than spend 4 hours in the grocery store. You don't have to spend 4 hours, even if you're coupon shopping and bargain shopping. You don't have to do it that way, and I'm good at it. But what I'm saying is, and yes, we have modern conveniences. Yes, we're washing clothes and we're pushing buttons, and all you have to do is separate them. And all that is, yes, that's all true. And yes, we have dishwashers and we have microwaves. And yes, you can make a meal in about 45 minutes. You're right, Alabama. But that does not negate the fact. Cleaning the house does not get any easier. Organizing laundry and organizing home does not get any easier. They haven't given a remedy for that. Making sure the sheets are actually folded and not balled does make a difference. Does take time. Clothes do not fold on their own. Ironing shirts yes, you may have better irons now and an ironing board, but it still takes time to get it right if you're going to do
when
that.
Your kids,
if you're going to care,
Tracy,
well, let's
Tracy,
tell
when
Alabama,
your kids
if you're
going
to care for your clothes. Because remember, there's a lot of people who don't care for their clothes. They buy cheap clothes, and they have to go out and buy them every 2 weeks because they don't care for them. That doesn't
make
a difference.
No, what I was saying was, let me preface my statement. A woman that has a child that's under 5 years, 6 years old, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more work. But when your children are 8, 10, 11, I have a sister, my brother's wife, and my brother makes, you know, almost $200 a year. But his wife sat at home all up until they had another baby. His daughter graduated high school, and then she got pregnant again. But she sat at home. She was working at first, and she sat at home all the way up until her daughter graduated high school. So we would come over there. She'd be sitting there watching TV doing nothing. I'm sorry.
You missed the point. Did you hear what I said?
That's the same point I was making. If you do it right, it's a full-time job.
But even – it's not – listen, it's a full-time job, but what I'm saying is, I disagree with you sitting on your behind all day long doing nothing. What I said a man should not depend upon his wife's paycheck for the family sustainability. That's what I said.
Sticks, why is it a full-time job when the baby gets up and prepares their own clothes and goes and catches the bus without you having to get out to bed? Is it that she don't take 8 hours a day? All she got to do is clean up and cook. What else do you have to have?
Honey, sweetheart, there's a lot more to that, it should be.
In the case of my sister, she tends the garden, she tends her flower bed, she does all the gardening. My brother-in-law doesn't.
Unnecessary. Go ahead. Unnecessary. Go ahead, Nick.
My sister cans. She's busy all day long taking care of her home.
It depends on the
and her children.
In Alabama, as I said, it depends on the wife.
40-hour week. I want to hear
listen,
that.
Listen, let me tell you. This is how it should work. When my children get up, I should be up with my children. I don't care what age they are, even as they go through high school. And I should be making sure that their beds are made and their room is straightened up before they hit the door. I need to make sure that there's food downstairs, and if I'm a great mom and a great wife, which most of us are not, there's usually some type of breakfast for them to eat downstairs because we are on a schedule. They get out of the house and they go to school. While they're in school, I may be doing some volunteer work. I may be at the school. I may have a part-time job. I may be washing clothes. I may be cleaning house. I may be doing some other things. I may be making sure that
you got a part-time job. I ain't got no problem with that. 4 hours a day, go work at a call center, whatever. I have no problem with that. But to sit up here and tell me that from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4:35 in the afternoon, you are basically busy. No, you don't have to be. That's not true. Did you hear what I said?
Listen to what I said. I said that you should not be sitting at home watching television all day long. You should be busy. But home care, if done right, if you are taking care of your home, and when I say that, and you're very organized in when you do this, but home care is a job that has been overlooked because most people, most women, and most people have never seen a house that has been well manicured by a wife.
Right. How long do you think it takes to make 100 quarts of tomato sauce?
No, I ain't making no tomato sauce. I don't care what you do. Pass the ketchup.
Okay,
I'm not doing
it. Everybody does
that.
That's not a rule thing.
I'm talking about an everyday city life, but I'm talking about just making sure I still iron my sheets.
Right.
So that means my sheets last longer. Ironing a man's shirts, making sure his clothes are darned and his socks are darned. Making sure that the home is in, so that when their kids come home, they're ready for their homework and
right.
and they're ready for their dinner. Making
everybody
sure that the cobwebs.
Everybody's not from the dark ages. Now, everybody's not from the dark ages. Look, just put my stuff in the laundry and start getting starched up. Pick it up in the morning. Drop it off in the morning. Pick it up at afternoon. I'm just saying.
Hold on. Drop it off where?
At the cleaner.
You missed the point. That's the point. She shouldn't be sending everything you have to the cleaners. If you've got a wife, she stays at home, she should be doing it.
She should be ironing and starching your shirts.
You don't send a man. You don't stay home. That's why you're working.
Look, if I'm sending everything to the cleaners.
Hold on. Alabama, if I'm sending everything to the cleaners, then yes, I should have a full-time job. But if I'm because actually, a shirts that are cleaned and washed at home will last longer than shirts that are gone to the cleaners.
That's right. That's what
because remember, we're on a budget here because I'm not working anymore.
You're missing what Tracy and I are saying. If a woman runs her house correctly, urban or rural, she is busy all day long. She doesn't have time to sit and watch television.
But she's not taking clothes. I hear what you guys are saying.
Television, she's running an iron while she's doing it.
Okay, I hear what you guys are saying, but what I'm saying is, practically speaking, every married couple doesn't need if a wife can go and pay a dollar and some change to go through star stuff or spend time there starching the shirt, and I like it better from the laundry than most of the time when somebody irons them anyway.
You don't know nobody.
Doesn't just do that. Well, I mean, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, don't tell me that she's not running her house properly because she doesn't sit there and iron clothes all day. I mean, that's just not.
You missed the point.
Let me finish.
I'm not going to let you finish because I'm going to take a call from you. The point. You are so far past the point, Alabama. Go ahead. Go ahead, Diva.
I just want to say that it works differently for every marriage. I've been a working wife and a housewife. I found that in order for me to do what was needed for my family, I couldn't work a full-time job, and what it was needed. I think if a man truly you have to look at what you want. If you have a working wife, you have to know that there are going to be some sacrifices that come with it. Because if she's working a full-time job, you're not guaranteed a meal every day. You're not guaranteed a clean house every day. That is something you're going to have to take in a responsibility. You're not going to be able to come home and just sit and relax and wait for her to cook the meal. It's not going to happen. But if that's something that you want and desire, then you're going to have to make sacrifices where you're going to have to step up and be the main source of income outside the home and allow her to do what needs to do to make sure that you have the home that you actually want. You can't just look at somebody else's marriage and say, hey, that works. She's going to work, and if she's doing this, she's doing that. It may not work for you.
But like, okay,
let's
go back to the conversation that you guys missed. Because you just came in on the gender differences of domestic house care. I said a man should not rely on the woman's income for the sustainability of the house.
I agree.
That is the crux of the conversation. That's where I started. A man should not rely upon a woman's income for the sustainability for their livelihood and for the home. A man should not make it to where I don't have to work so hard because my wife's going to kick in the other half, because she's not your roommate, nor is she your partner. She's your wife. And if a man's going to be a man, he is going to cover his house and have the financial stability to ensure that there's safety and there's food no matter what happens to her and her job. That's what I said. I got to take a break.
Lord have mercy.
So, Alabama, what kind of wife do you want?
No, I'm saying this. I don't mind a woman working, and she come on, she's tired. Tell me you're tired. I cook. Big deal. I don't. That one little incident of cooking changes the whole dynamic of everything. You can't do that.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever lived with a woman?
Say what?
Have you ever lived with a woman?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I've lived with a woman before.
And she works?
Yep.
How did that work for you guys?
I mean, I would cook. Sometimes she would cook. Sometimes she would bring food. That eating is not a big deal. We didn't have kids. It was just us. So eating wasn't a big deal. Sometimes I just say, hey, I'm going to eat over here with so-and-so. All right. Sometimes we didn't even talk about it. I just ate, came home. I mean, she ate that. And if not, we didn't even talk about it. And then if we did, it would be like, she'll say, hey, could you fix this? I'll get up and fix it. It's no big, I'm not like, no, I'm a man. I can't cook. No, I didn't say that. But I think we're fighting fake arguments. I never said something like that.
I take it your dad likes his home to be neat and clean.
Say what?
I take it your dad likes his house neat and clean.
Yeah, if I was there, I would just clean up. I would wash dishes. It's no big deal. I'm not
okay.
Like that. I'm not like, okay, I'm a man. I can't wash dishes. I can't. It's whatever. She'll take out the trash. It's whatever. And then sometimes she'll wash dishes.
Okay, so that's why I say it depends on people. It depends on each individual person.
I mean, stick somebody up there making tomato sauce. Come on, they ain't got nothing to do with being a good wife.
People can say, well, this is how your marriage should be. This is how your marriage should be. But not everybody's marriage is going to work in the traditional fashion. Not everybody's marriage is going to work in modern
fashion. My ex-girlfriend, me and my ex are real serious. We might get married or whatever. She makes pretty good money. She's not going to give up her career. She loves what she does. She told me that she knows I'm a businessman. She knows I like to go out and invest and start businesses and run. She said, well, I will probably be the person that will keep the job, to keep the interest, there are some women that think like that while their husband runs a landscaping service or their husband runs a business that may not bring all that insurance in or bring all that. So she knows, she's okay, he's going out there to get his.
I'm going to get this regular
9-to-5 and bring insurance to the house.
But I think what Tracy was getting at is that a woman's income should not be dependent upon, meaning if she works, that's fine. But it shouldn't be like, okay, you have to work so that we can get these bills paid. Well, you have to work so the household can be taken care of like it should be.
Every woman's not like that. Some women don't mind working and having to work for insurance, for example, because he runs a lawn service or he runs a mobile car wash.
then she can't. You can. He can't get you insurance. If he do, it's gonna be thousands of dollars. So she's saying, well, look, I'll get this job over here at the bank, making $40,000 and getting insurance for the whole family. I don't. You can't tell nobody that their family can't be ran that way.
Like I said, it works differently for everybody. I did not enjoy being a working mom and wife. That did not work. That caused a lot of problems between us. That's one reason, another reason why he and I are divorced. So now I know that if I'm going to get married, well, more like, you know, the guy that I'm dating now, we're perfect for each other in that regard because he doesn't. He's of the mind of Tracy. The wife.
Well, my thing is, when a woman can go out, do get a job, work, come back home, and if she has issues, pick the phone up, let me know, and then I'll be taken care of. I mean, it's not like it's written in stone.
But you know, there are a lot of women out here who do not enjoy working and trying to take care of a family, but they're pressured into it. And I think that's what Tracy is getting at.
I get what you're saying. I don't argue with that. But my thing is, there are a lot of guys out here that the wife has bad spending habits, but they say if they get kicked out of the house, it's the man's fault because she wasn't a good woman.
AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And I brought up this because I was looking at families and relationships, and I do want to get to some foreign policy today. But I brought this up because it was really bothering me because I'm watching young people getting married and they're establishing these partnerships and these business transactions, and they call it a wedding day and marriage, and that's not what marriage is, and that's not what wedding is, and that's not what life is all about. And so they bring these children into this partnership. And they advocate their responsibility to this partnership, and then the children get left out in the cold. They get these attitudes towards one another during this process because they've left their partnership, and their trust is no longer there that they really did not have in the beginning. And the submission and the authority that goes into a marriage relationship is not there, and because of that, it causes a lot of fraction within our community and with our society and within our lives. And I'm bringing this up because I know a young couple who they're really, really struggling right now, and a lot of it has to do with the pressures that go on a woman are put there, and they should not be there based upon who she is when she has a husband and when she has a man. And if you don't teach your young men how to be a man and how to be a husband, he will always be what you raised him to be, which will be less than that. And it causes a very, very difficult relationship when he marries. It's the same thing with young women. Today we are so, I am woman, hear me roar, I can do anything. I bring home the bacon, I fry it in the pan, and I need anything else but a man. That's just not how it works. And I think we're missing the point of what I'm saying. I'm not saying that women ought to stay home and eat bonbons all day long, nor am I saying that women need to go back to the dark ages. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is the family structure should not be based upon based upon the woman's income in that family, and a man needs to step up and become the protector and the cover and the provider of that home. And we've gotten away from that.
Hello,
who is that? Hi, Stanley.
Oh my God! I disagree with what you're saying, because if we're gonna go back to what you're saying, what was the whole point of the feminists and everything to having the equal right as men?
I didn't say take that away. I said, as in a relationship with your husband and wife, not in the workplace.
Yes. Okay.
A man should not make it his priority to put all the responsibility of the family on his wife. He should not be depending on his wife for the family income.
Okay, but you can't put all the responsibility on the man, too.
Yes, I can.
You can't. No, you can't, because in our situation that we live now, we need to have two people working. We don't live in the...
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Trust me, in New York, you do. There's no way you could have a house in every place and having one woman, except if you're rich. If you're rich, yeah, you can. But if you're not rich, it's two people working. The woman needs the money, and the man needs the money to have.
Can I ask you a question?
My woman's going to work anyway. I don't care how much money I make. She's going to work.
Yeah, we both need to work. I'm sorry. Not in 2014. You can't stay home, except if you're rich. If you're rich, that's a different thing. But if you're not rich, if you're the middle class,
can I ask you a question?
Both people need to work.
I got a question for you. This is a serious question. What happens if you marry me and during childbirth I become ill? There's no insurance for this.
Oh, there's no insurance, then you're in big doo-doo. You're in big problem. You can't ask the man to cover you and him. Especially
Stanley.
the way the salary are now, the way that the people are getting paid, productivity is not facing the salary. If it was, it would be normal for a man to owe it all and say, I'm taking care of the kid. But that's not the case. Salary are very down compared to what it was before.
Stanley, you need to move out of New York.
No.
I'm not talking about New York. I'm talking anywhere. When you look at the productivity
right here,
in
America, right here in the Mahoning Valley.
Stanley,
right here in the Mahoning Valley, if a family wants to, on the average industrial wage in this country, you can live on one income.
Let me say it this way, Stix. Hold on.
Hold on, Stanley.
Let me say this. Stix and I differ on this point because I do believe you can live and you can survive, but you won't have a life.
Exactly.
Because right now, in large parts of this valley, you can get a nice 3-bedroom house on a lot for $50,000 in a decent neighborhood and a decent school system.
But what I'm saying, listen,
and the payment on a $50,000 note is about $200 a month.
If you have good credit, and hold on, hold on. Let me finish the statement because this is where Stix and I disagree on this. It would be very, 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 very difficult. Very, very difficult to live on $35,000 a year in the Mahoning Valley, even because your quality of life would be very, very limited.
I said the average industrial wage.
Which is?
With overtime.
You ain't finna date no black woman that get her hair done with on that kind of money. She getting her hair done, that's set in stone right there. So, good luck.
Can I ask you a question, Alabama? I do my own hair, so is that a problem?
And my wife spends
$10. Hey, I love it. Look,
black women can't spend no $10.
When a man look at a woman, he just feels safe. He don't even notice all these little details that women go spend all his money on.
Alabama, one at a time. Black women cannot spend $10 a month. You can't get a perm in a box to relax your hair for $10 a month. Let alone get anybody to test your hair for less.
You don't
than
perm your hair every month either.
You can't
go
even
ahead.
Buy.
I do, Alabama. Hold on, Diva. Alabama, I perm my hair every 4 weeks, so don't tell me what I do and don't do.
Hold up. But my mom fixed hair, raised me fixing hair now, so I know a little something about hair. I've been to the Palmer Bowl, so go ahead.
I got a four week limit. 5 weeks is really over the top. So everybody's hair is different. I'm on a 4 week schedule, like clockwork.
You need to get super in it, because your hair must be strong, because you must need super. You at least need 6 weeks. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm telling you what I know. Everybody's hair different. I'm on a 4 week schedule. Go look at the picture. If I don't have it on 4 weeks, you'll know it. So everybody's hair different. But it's gonna cost people more than $10 out Stix, especially if you color it. You get your hair done.
If Stix got a house for $50,000, her hair is gonna probably cost more than the done mortgage. I'm just going to be straight. Especially if she got weave, because most women ain't wearing no $10 weave. So she going to get some good weave at least every 6 weeks. She's going to have to take it out, change it. Come on now.
Therein lies the problem. Because if you know that your husband is only making $35,000 a year, and then you have maybe two or three kids, then there are some sacrifices as a wife that you have to make. You can't be going to the beauty parlor every week, every other week. You have to figure out how to get it done for
But Diva, you know what I do?
In the Mahoning Valley,
Diva.
Alabama, one at a time. Go ahead, Diva.
In the Mahoning Valley, it can be done. You can live on a one-person income. And where the husband will work $35,000, I'm sorry, that if I can do that with just me and my daughter. So if I'm married with one kid, I'm pretty sure I can still do it.
I mean,
what I was trying to say was,
I'll call you in. Go ahead, Steve.
Very few males working in a factory making $15 an hour are only making $35,000 a year because all the factories in the area, rather than hire people, work OT. So, you know, I was making twice when I was in the factory, I was making twice my hourly rate a year. If you took my hourly rate and multiplied it by two, which is 2,000 hours a year, so if you're making $15, you make 30 a year.
When I
was doubling that because of the overtime we were working.
What I'm saying is men, just like Alabama just said, when he get married, his wife gone work. So he's already established in his mind that she's going to contribute to the household income.
But exactly.
I looked at everything that my wife did as contributing. I mean, I think my sister figured it out. It was like $40,000 a year, which she was saving them by not staying home, or by staying home, excuse me. Taxes alone was a big chunk of that.
He's already put in his mind.
Neither Stanley nor Alabama value the homemaker because a homemaker has real monetary value. A woman who's doing that job correctly is worth $30,000 to $40,000 in income a year.
But you have to find that woman who's doing the job correctly. And I'm sorry to say, and Tracy can confirm, there's not a lot of women who are doing that job correctly.
That's true. That's true. There are very few women.
Very few men are doing their job right. Very few women are doing their job right.
And what I'm saying is we are not. We get married and become anything but a wife and a husband.
Yeah, it's a partnership. Like you said, it's a partnership.
We wonder why we cannot get along is because you've not transitioned from boyfriend and girlfriend or my boo and my boo to husband and wife.
Yeah, but...
Go ahead. Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, Alabama.
The point I was trying to make about a woman, about the $35,000 a year, my thing is this. I want you to have a gym membership. I want you to look nice. I want you to have your hair done. Get you a little shampoo and set. Get your hair done. I pay for that. I like my woman jazzy. I like nice shoes. They ain't got to be expensive, but I want you to look nice. So if she want to get a job working 4 hours a day at a little call center from 8 to 12 or 9 to 1, get off at 1 o'clock, come to the house. It can be done. It's like almost like women have just so convinced people, I need all day, 8 hours, and you know darn well it don't take you no whole day to do whatever it is that you're trying to do, unless you're out here making catch-up and put your own personal catch-up and doing every little idiosyncrasy that you can do. Like, I'm going to iron every shirt. I'm going to fold his drawers. Then, yeah. But I don't care about that. Throw my drawers. Throw them in the drawer, and I'll get them out. Don't worry about it. I don't need all that. That's me. I'm real simple, man. Some women, I don't need you folding up my drawers and socks. Just put them in the darn drawer in the bag of them, and I'll get them out. Folks kill me.
So hold on. Stop right there, because I'm going to throw this in the mix. So, listen, there is a problem. If you throw your socks in the drawer and don't mate them together, that's why you walk out with a blue sock and a black sock. And what I'm saying is...
Yeah, I take that 10 minutes and go through there and find it.
I know. And what I'm saying is, if things are in order, it saves time on what you do. If all you have to do is reach in a certain drawer and pick up a sock, and you know they're different, on the left side is blue and on the right side is black, and in the middle is brown.
But
what I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying, Alabama. Hold on, Alabama. Didn't I say one at a time? I said one at a time. What I'm saying is, and I said, It's not about a woman not working. I'm not trying to say women should not work. That's not what I said. I said the man should quit depending on her salary for the household sustainability.
But
why can't y'all hear that?
Because that's
I don't hear it.
I get what you're saying, Tracy. I get it.
I get
what you're saying. I completely understand what you're saying. And for Alabama and Stanley, the fact of the matter is, I think that there's nothing wrong with you guys wanting. I think it's nothing for your wife to contribute, but I think you need to make sure that she is okay with working and contributing in that factor. Because if there is pressure on her to do so,
that does not make for good marriage.
You're Alabama. You are not navigating this show. So hold up. Unless you want to come to Youngstown and sit in this chair where I am.
Yeah.
440, your mic is on.
I got to disagree with you. I mean, my wife worked most of her adult life, but the whole thing is that we both shared in the chores. She needed me to fold the clothes. She needed me, if I needed her to help me with yard work, she helped me. It's all about if you love your wife or you love your husband, you're going to help them, all right?
Thank you.
Some people cannot make it. Hold on. Some people can't make it with just one salary, all right? If I get laid off, she's there to pick up the slack and vice versa. It's all about, it sounds ridiculous, but it's a team and family thing. And that worked just fine for us for the last 46 years.
That's
so
not what I said.
One person,
let me,
one
let
person
me ask you,
holding
let me, listen,
on.
Listen, 440, that's
one
not what I said.
Hold,
that's
one,
right.
One person.
That's not. 440, that's not what
hold
I said.
On.
Let me ask you this. What? We started out this conversation, and Tracy's point was, a man should not count on his wife's income
to sustain the family.
To sustain the family.
I did.
Did
I
when
did.
You,
I got laid off.
Yeah,
so
right.
And then I picked up the slack.
But what I'm saying is, if you had been counting on your wife's income to truly sustain your family, when you got laid off, your family would have been in financial hardship.
I don't understand what you're saying.
No,
okay,
I don't agree with what they're saying. I don't
listen
agree
to what
with what you're
saying.
Hold on,
Alan, Stanley, hold on.
For example, my daughter and her husband, they live on one salary, they bank the second one. If one of them loses their job, hold on, if one of them loses their job, their lifestyle is not going to change one iota, either one. Because,
right.
And that's what I'm saying. So you were not using your wife's income to sustain your family. Except for in times of emergency.
A woman's salary can complement the family. It is a savings of the family. It's an additive to the family. But if you are solely relying on her bringing home her paycheck every month for your sustainability, that is a problem. Because what happens is it takes the responsibility of you being a man and puts it half on me.
Wait, but Tracy, I don't understand what you're saying. When you're going to work, it is your responsibility to bring the money also. It's not my responsibility as a man to bring everything to you and bring the whole money thing and put the whole pressure on the man. It's not.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is. Yes,
no,
it is.
Not. No, it's not.
That's what's wrong with the society, Stanley. That's why the society is collapsing.
That's what's
no,
wrong.
It's
putting,
not, it's
we're
not,
putting a
it's
second
not.
Income over top of our children, for one thing.
That's what's
well,
wrong.
But, Tracy, it's
that's
not
the
happening
point.
Because – but, Tracy, it's not happening because, first of all, women have more chance of having a job compared to a man. And that's number one. Second of all, the society that we're living and everything, you cannot live if you don't have two salaries coming in. You can't.
Yes, you can, Stanley. Maybe
no,
not
can.
In New York
not,
City,
not in,
but in
not,
nine
not,
of the
not
rest
in
of the nation, you
not
can.
Not in New York, not in all those countries. Maybe you can in the little village, but go to any big city
you can do
and
it
try
in Charleston,
to tell them.
South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
you
the number 347-945-5229, I just want you to understand that's what I'm saying, Stanley. And now, don't get me wrong. Society has made it to where we believe that if a woman does not work and contributes all her salary to the family and you contribute all your salary to the family, you can't survive. And what I'm saying is we need to pull back that paradigm and quit depending upon that woman's salary for the sustainability of our family and making men rise up to be men. Because what's happening is what is happening is we have got this shared partnership and the partnership is not working.
But it's supposed
it's,
to be a shared
slowly,
partnership.
Stanley, sweetie, honey, listen, we're going to do this one at a time. We are. We have this shared partnership. And this shared partnership is not working. And you can see it by the marriage decrease and how we're getting divorced. Local call, your mic is on.
Where do you get this example at? I can't.
Jeff, did your mother work?
Yes, she did.
Okay, did she have to work? Did she have to work?
No, but that had nothing to do with it.
Did your father rely upon her working to make ends meet?
No, but that had nothing to do with it. Once again, if you want to really get an idea.
Jeff, did your wife work?
Yes.
Did she have to work?
At some time.
No. Did she have to work?
No, but not.
Did you rely upon her income?
It doesn't have to do with anything.
It has to do with what I said. Yes, it does.
It's not real.
Yes, it is.
You have a fake.
No, listen to what I'm saying. We have now made men into wusses. So instead of
wait a minute, Tracy. It's not.
I said one at a time. I cannot navigate both sides. And I said about women, we are not doing what we're supposed to do as mothers and as wives. But I said as men, because they are dependent upon that wife's livelihood and her going out and working.
Listen, yes. You are dependent upon each other to do what
other,
you do.
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly.
It
thank
has
you,
nothing
Jeff.
To do with one or the other.
It's no.
Because what happens
yes,
you, you didn't live that life.
You're not thinking.
Yes, I am. I said you should not. You had gotten sick. Your wife would have rose up and she would have plowed the whole field to make sure that the life was right.
So
what
now,
I said was,
out of balance?
But you did not depend upon her for the livelihood and sustainability of your family. You were the provider.
Right now,
men are no longer providers for their family and they wonder why they're not getting the respect from their wives.
It's not our job to provide you, it's a job to basically be a partnership like Jeff is saying. I'm sorry, my mom
it's
and
not
father
a partnership.
Yes, it is.
Not like that, Jeff.
Yes, it is.
But
yes.
Tracy,
exactly what it is.
Okay.
No.
The Bible says.
The Bible does not. I am your helpmeet, but I am not your provider.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, no, that doesn't mean that you're providing. You're bringing the money.
You help me do whatever is necessary to keep our family running.
That's correct.
Exactly. You're doing it together. You're bringing your money.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. We are now dependent. The whole society is dependent. And a man is no longer depending on his wife to be a helpmeet, but to meet the help. Everybody's screaming about women no longer respect men. The reason why we don't respect men is because they're no longer providing for their families.
They're no longer.
But it was never.
That's pretty much what I'm saying in a nutshell.
I don't care.
But Tracy,
deal
it was never the case that we should need to provide for more
children.
I can't hear everybody talking at one time. I can't hear.
You know what, though? Hold on, Diva. One second.
I don't understanding what Tracy is saying. She's not saying that a woman shouldn't work or a woman can't work. That's not what she's saying. What she is saying
That's okay, it was what it was. That wasn't your fault. That was Dallas. That should have been on Dallas.
Yeah.
All right.
Use your phone, man.
Yes. You know what, though? If a man wants to be considered the leader of the household, then he needs to carry the weight. I understand. I respect that. But don't sit up here and tell me my wife can't work at all. Now, that's the way I got to talk.
But that's not what she said. What she said
And I'm sorry to say, it has nothing to do with being the leader and everything. My mom worked, my father worked, and they were both together. But my father was the leader of the house, period.
Okay,
and they both put the money together to do what they needed to do. It wasn't like if my mother didn't have the money, my father didn't have the money, they wouldn't have the house. They wouldn't have what they had. They never had
my mom and dad, my mom and dad worked too. I can say that my life could have been...
Again, she's not saying that a wife shouldn't work. That's not what she's saying. What we see now, especially in the African-American community now, I'm 34 years old. When you get to dating now and men talking about, they expect for their wife to work, to bring in a certain income. So hold on, let me finish, so that they can share equally in the household.
Yes.
That is balance. You should not be dependent on when you do that. Okay, you might get a woman who loves to work and wants to be a great wife and take care of the home and take care of the kids and all that. That's fine. If you find that, you've got a diamond in the rough. But majority of the women, if you want to come home every day to the cooking house, make sure your kids are well taken care of, you get sex on the regular, she's not going to be looking to do all that for you, and she's got to work to provide the income in the house, too,
But Diva, the thing that you're not getting, the father could help you also with the kids. Diva, I'm going back to what you're saying. You're saying that the woman is going to do both. No, I'm saying that the father also needs to be included in the family. The father needs to take care of the kid also. The father needs to help out in the house. The father needs to do. So both people are doing the thing that they need to do. It's not just the woman coming home from work and saying, I come from work and I'm doing the cooking and everything. Everybody's saying no. You're coming from work, and if the man has to cook, he has to learn how to cook.
Come on, Stanley, she's not talking about men who would actually help with their wives and understand that my wife worked and I got to share responsibilities. She's talking about men who actually don't do that. That is the case that happened in my
Let me finish.
You always say I dominate the conversation, but then when we go on first, I hear that high pitch voice the whole break.
Ain't
talking. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Go ahead.
Quit crying all the time about you can't talk. Really? Seriously?
Look at you. You wasting time right now talking.
I've never heard Eric cry complaining about not being able to get in. And Eric,
you wasting time. No, I wouldn't say nothing. Y'all came at me tonight. I dominate.
Quit crying.
Y'all came at me first, though.
May I interject in a second?
Go ahead.
Airtime you can't get.
Go ahead, man.
Eric, go ahead, sir.
I was just thinking, this all started back in the late 60s, 70s. Women wanted equal rights in the workplace, which, you know, they were entitled to. But that's where the switchover started to take place, where men started losing their power and their position in the family. They started losing respect, and then there was a steady decline in family values from there on out, to the point where now women can be the sole bread maker in a family, where 30, 40 years ago that was not the case. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that women did this to themselves in the long run. I'm sorry?
It's not Leave It to Beaver anymore. It's not the Donna Reed Show, dude.
Yeah. The feminists are taking over. The feminists have taken over, and we're not going back to those days ever.
Listen. Well, it's back to those days for those that have the income to do that. But it's not all people that have those incomes that can provide that. And that's a very false conception, and makes a lot of guys commit suicide, thinking that they're no good because they haven't been able to, you know, to bring in X, Y, and Z to take care of, quote unquote, the family. And that is the problem. You both take care of the family. You do what you can do.
Most
one point, and I'm going to shut up.
Jeff, if you look at the virtuous woman, she sold real estate on the side. Even the virtuous woman had money in the house.
And she did clothes, and she sold clothes and sold them in the marketplace.
So she was a hustler. She was a hustler, too. I don't want to hear that about you got to sit at the house.
And Jeff, the thing I go with Diva, she's saying basically that the woman's coming back from work and she has to work so hard and take care of the kids. I'm sorry. It's not because you're taking care of the kid. The father also has to take care of the kid. You make it sound like the whole thing is, Stanley. Go ahead.
Don't you know one thing? In this society, women are kind of spoiled and self-centered, and everything is centered around what the woman wants. Look at the shopping center. You go to the shopping centers, it's 80% of the stores are for women, yet they make the least amount of money compared to men. But they spend all the money. Fast family.
Alabama. Alabama.
Oh, my God.
How come you think that on the wedding day, it's whose day is it?
It's the woman's day. Even though it may be divorced a couple of years later.
Right.
That's right.
And they want
That's
to
right.
be taken care of. It's, well,
you,
it's the
you,
princess
you gotta
is getting married. And they want to be taken care of the rest of their life. That's
what
it is.
You can't. You can't.
You
can't.
Look,
it's women. You can laugh how you want to. The truth. Women are self-centered. This society is centered around women. They get everything, and they don't have to have no responsibility.
Yeah,
you can answer that. Let a woman do something ratchet, every woman going to take up for her. Even if she did something wrong.
Y'all sound
you
like that
buy a $1,000 wedding dress, but you
got to
rent a tux.
That's funny. That's exactly what y'all sound like.
No, but Diva,
anyway.
Diva, you can't. Diva,
you
can't have it both ways. Diva, Diva, let me.
It's our fathers. Well, most of us, it's our fathers who make us feel like we're princes.
No. And then reality comes back in your face to make you see, no, you're not a princess. You're not a princess.
555-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I wouldn't marry none of y'all.
Well, it's the
Thanks,
truth,
Eric,
Diva.
If he was single.
It's the
if
truth, Diva.
I might marry Eric. But the rest of y'all
wouldn't
marry
it's
y'all.
The
truth,
Diva. You get around me. You get around me. You'll change your mind.
You are the one that I tell my daughter that is not the man. That's not the type of man that I want her to be with.
Oh, I hope you're going to tell your daughter that she's not a princess.
No, you know what? Don't worry about it, Stanley. Emotions going to take over. All that's going to be different. And then emotions get to talking. It's different.
So true.
Whatever.
So true.
You say that. That's what your head say.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I tell my daughter not to marry someone like me, though.
May I ask a question?
I'm going to marry someone like or Eric. Take care. I don't know what Eric tells me. This is a good, wholesome thing. That's the type of man you want to marry.
The type of man is going to put you in a pedestal even though you don't deserve it and just prove yourself. That's a smart man. Yeah, that's a smart man. Please.
What is this she playing? What is this?
That's not his nickname.
I'll
have to pick the music up.
Man, I need to pick the music, man.
She's playing CeeLo Green crazy on
the
electric violin.
I know
it's
electric violin. It's electric violin version.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back. And this is Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. I've gotten into an electric guitar thing today, so you have to just bear with me. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Kristen Howes. The first guy, his name was, I think it was Jerome Green.
Yeah.
And he was playing Happy, and they're doing this via electronic violin. And I'm just impressed with the art. The number, again, is 347-945-5229. Don't forget to download the app. And I brought up a topic this morning. I want to get to Afghanistan and President Obama's troops. But I do. I brought this up, and whether you agree with me or disagree with me, I know that what I'm saying is very, very right. The destruction of the family is becoming because we've taken more of the burden off of the man and put it onto the woman. We've equalized it in different ways, and I don't believe that it should be. a woman has her job and she has her navigation of where she goes and what she's supposed to be doing. And don't get me wrong, it's not that it's not as either more important or less important, because it is very equal in many, many ways. But we have taken the burden of the provider. A man is supposed to be a provider for his family. It is not the woman's point. It is not her job to be the provider for the family. And we put that provision on her when she provides for the family. I said, let me finish. When she provides for the family, then she has equal say in the family, and a man is the head of the household, whether he wants the responsibility or not. And he has to usurp that authority, and he has to take that authority and take it very, very seriously. And when you make a woman a partner, then you wonder why she usurps authority over you, and then you wonder why you can't get along in the end.
Uh-huh.
Woman is supposed to be submissive to her husband. Submission is not in the point of a negative. Submission is a point of a positive, and she's supposed to be obedient. We've taken those out of the marriage vows, and we've done that because he's not my boss. Well, the reason why he's not your boss is because you have not yielded your will to your provider, and men have not provided. And then you wonder why we disrespect men and don't treat them as we should is because we don't respect you. And the reason why we don't respect you is because you no longer provide for us. And when you don't provide for us, and when I don't trust in you, then I cannot respect you.
But you wonder why you don't get along with us.
None of those things have anything to do with the other. And that's what you're saying, none of those things have to do with the respect part.
Okay,
I'm sorry, man.
Hey, the Proverbs 31 woman, did her husband depend on her to provide for the family?
You know what?
You don't know that. It doesn't say.
Alabama. That's one at a time.
It does say.
Answer the question, Jeff.
Okay. What did he do all day?
He sat in the gates.
He sat in the gates. He was a judge of the city. And the thing is that woman got up early in the morning, fed her household, sewed, went to the marketplace, sold her goods, came back home, and still was getting down. So the thing is that ought to show you one thing, that your moniker on this is just not.
So, Jeff, answer the question.
I'm going to tell you where it came from.
Answer the question.
I answered the question.
No, you didn't.
Was she the provider for the family?
She was. She was the sole provider for the family.
I don't know about sole provider because I don't know how much the judge makes.
I never said that a woman should not work.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
No, it didn't. A man should not be put the provision of the family on his wife's salary. That was the beginning of the conversation. The conversation said, I said, what is happening today is we are making a woman's salary a part of our budget. And because we're making it a part of our overall budget and not weaning it down to where she can actually become a wife and a mother, we make a provision that she has to work for the provision and the sustainability of the family. And what I'm saying is a man should never have to depend upon his wife for the livelihood and sustainability of his family. And he should be willing to work three and four jobs to make sure that his family is fed.
Well, I'm sorry, that will never happen, Tracy, because when women want equality, that's what happens.
No, that changed
the whole dynamic.
Stanley, you got to quit talking over everybody.
But Jeff, you said yourself that you were never dependent on your wife's income.
Wait a minute, as far as soul, no.
That's what we're talking about. If you had gotten sick, your wife would have stepped up to the plate. But my question is, did you depend upon her income to make sure that your daughter ate every day?
At times, yes. And like I said, because you don't understand. When you lose income, you lose it.
But the point we're trying to make here is, if you're riding on that ragged edge all the time, there is no buffer zone. And your wife's salary should be your buffer zone.
My brother, I hear you, and maybe it's different for you out in the country, but for all the people that live in the city that are subject to how a company goes and subject to how a something else goes, that does not exist.
But you just said that's how your family ran.
I am not in the same category as everybody else.
Hold on, Jeff. Go ahead, Stanley. Oh, wait a minute. 986. I'm sorry, 989.
Oh, thank you. I'm assuming that's me. That's my area code.
Yes,
no, my real question here is that the whole thing keeps going back and forth of you know, a man or a woman should not be the sole provider, of course. The question I ask you is why? Why shouldn't a woman be a sole provider? You want equal rights. Most men are for that. But this is more like equal but pandered to. This is, you know, falling back on an old stereotype of how a man should be a man and a woman should be a woman. It hasn't been that way for a long time. So I was hoping you can explain to me why it is
because the family structure
to be a sole provider.
Because the family structure is not built upon a woman being a sole provider. And what happens is you have to realize everybody has a participating role inside of the structure. And a man gives a woman a seed, and she brings forth a child. And that child needs to be taken care of and nurtured, loved, navigated. And that child needs to make sure that they have those equal parenting, the father and the mother in that home to rear them. And what's happening is in our family structure with all this equal rights and gender rights and all that stuff, what's happening is you see very, very few families today that are actually the mother, father, and children, and they all belong to the same family. We have blended families today, and very seldom do you find the father of the children inside that home. And we wonder why we're in chaos as we are right now. And a lot of it has to do with the structure of the family.
It has to do with what you said earlier.
Jeff, I'm talking to the young man that has the question. I want him to jump back in. Go ahead.
I agree that there is a decline in the familial structure, you know, familiar structures. But the problem I'm running into here is that you keep on going back saying it shouldn't be a woman's. I'm sorry, I think I lost the here.
Hold on, sorry. Who's that? Okay, go ahead.
And the problem is that you keep saying it's not healthy, it's not the proper structure. It used to be the structure, yes. That used to be the foundation where the man worked and the woman stayed home, or a woman had a job on the side if she so chose. But, I mean, I think that is a folly argument to say that it shouldn't be that way just because it was that, you know, wasn't that way in the past. Your argument really isn't all that strong. Because
look at the family structure there. Let's go to Santa Barbara, to where this young man shot up this building, this college campus, and stabbed a couple people. Let's go there for a moment. Let's go to how many others are we having? The problems that we're having today, we didn't have then. And I'm not saying that we need to go back to where we had Ward Cleaver and Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we need to find a structural balance within our families and within our – because people are still getting married, but it's not working.
Well, there's a million reasons why – you know, marriages aren't working, and why parents
why
aren't
they not
home.
Working?
Like an individual parent?
Who's making all the noise?
I'm sorry?
Hold on, I'm trying to find out who's making all the noise. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's a million reasons why society is collapsing in the United States and many other Western cultures. It's not just because women are working more and men, you know, are not in the picture. Men, we don't have any control in a relationship anymore. We have lost like 70% of our power. So there's not
hold
that
on,
much
stop right there. Stop right, hold on. Stop right there. Stop right there. Because I want you to stay right there. Why have men lost their power in the relationship?
because women wanted a bigger role in decision making, financially, and in the household itself, and it changed the entire nature.
Okay,
hold on.
Let's stop. Look. And so, why did women want more of a say in the relationship?
I'm not of the previous generation to have experienced it, but I'm assuming that men were overbearing and had too much control.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, do you think that women have gone too far and have overreached inside a relationship? Because right now we're good at emasculating men very, very easily.
Yes. I believe that you've overstepped the boundaries now.
Where do you think that came from?
Female to male. Where do I think that came from? The women's rights movement and everyone.
But inside the home.
Inside the home.
Because what I'm saying is, because you're making my point. You're making my point right now. A man wants to be a man, and I as a woman won't let you be a man because I think I'm equal with you and I am not a man. You're making my point.
Interject.
Hold on, because I want to finish this out because I know you're going to say something that I'm going to disagree with. So before I go there, a woman thinks she's a man. I bring home the bacon. I make just as much money as you, and I don't need you. Says I can make my own money. I got my own way, and I can do my own thing. And all I need for you to sleep with me, and then walk down the street and walk the dog. And then you get mad when we say it out loud.
Right.
Go ahead, Jeff.
What I'm lost here is that I'm not seeing this as actually a negative. Once again, it goes back to why is this specifically a problem? You wanted equal rights. You got equal rights. You wanted more financial power. Now you have more financial power. The problem that really hurts men is that you want all this power, but you also want to be pandered to. You want equal rights, but you truly don't want to be equal. You don't want to do the things that men have to do.
Because I'm not a man. And women have always been confused, and we will always be confused because we always think we're smarter than you, and we're not when it comes to that.
Oh, no, not true.
Jeff, go back to the garden.
I can go back to the garden.
Go back to the garden.
That's my point.
And tell me a man is not supposed to follow a woman. Tell me that.
Did nobody say follow nobody?
And I did.
No, here's the deal. I don't care who's making more money. The man is the head of the household. And the man is supposed to manage the household. Now, he may relegate his wife to managing because women are much better managers usually than men by way of their function. But don't be saying this, a woman is not a man. She most certainly is a man. She's a man with a womb. That's why she's called womb man.
Yes, I know that part. Get to the point.
Wait a minute. That's a point, Tracy.
The point is she is not a man. She is not a man. She may be a man with a womb, but she is not the head of that house.
I didn't say she's only not the head or co-equal by reason of the fall, Tracy. When she came on the screen, she was co-equal with that man until the fall.
Go ahead.
And that's why her desire is toward them. Now you're trying to fit a Christian, this is the way it should be. Yes, the man is supposed to be the head of the house.
So
that
why isn't he?
It does not say he's the provider of the house. He can be the provider of the house, and they can both provide. They both are supposed to provide.
But Jeff, a man is supposed to be the provider.
Where'd you get that?
Listen, Jeff.
The word supposed to be. Why is he supposed to be the provider? There's nothing
because that's the way he has to be the provider. That's the way human beings are wired.
I think the reason why.
Hold on, Diva. Go ahead,
that's
Diva.
That's the way Western European society made it. That is not true. Now, once again, you have to understand why you do what you do here in the United States, because in other countries it does not work that way.
Let me.
You have a very high-minded bloodline type of situation where the women were more or less breeders, so that you had a bloodline of leaders. That's where you get this woman sits home on the throne, and the man runs out and does everything.
Sweetie, honey, we never said anything about sitting on the throne, sitting at home, eating bonbons, doing nothing.
No.
That's not what
that
has.
I didn't say that they were doing nothing.
But there's no throne here. This is not about a woman's having this presence of hierarchy. What I said was, what is happening is we are weakening the males and the men in the family.
Not because the woman works.
Listen to what I said, because a man is dependent. Listen to what I'm saying. A man is dependent on her woman's salary. And so instead of him having the drive to make sure that his family is fed at all costs, he depends on somebody else to do it. And that is a problem, whether it be the government or whether it be his wife. And that is a problem. So instead of him going to work and doing whatever's necessary to make sure that his children have food on the table, he abdicates his role to anybody else but himself. And you cannot tell me that that is not going on today.
Well, that's absolutely going on, Tracy.
Hold on, Jeff. Go ahead.
You keep on saying, and this is what I go back, you say it like it's a negative. A man relies on his partner for financial security. Why is it acceptable for a woman to do that but not a man? And this is sexism in its purest form right here. By saying, you know, women should be provided for, and it's completely okay if a man provides for his woman.
Wait.
But it's not okay if the roles are reversed.
I have a question for you. So do you think that it's okay for men to be house husbands?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. This goes back to what I said. What works for your marriage works for your marriage. But then you run into a risk. If you are a man who has an alpha male type personality, who wants to be respected as a man, being a house husband, I'm sorry, you're going to lose a lot of that respect because your wife, she's not going to look at you that way. And also, I think, Tracy, the reason why they're not getting the context of what you're saying is because you're not talking to men who go to work, expect the wife to work, and don't contribute to the household as well. I think the problem is because you're discussing people who are finding difficulty in their marriages and are trying to figure out what's going wrong. A good majority of the time, you run across men and women in marriage who both are working, and there's only one, because you have the wife contributing financially, and you have only her contributing in the household when it comes to taking care of the kids.
Hold on, local call. I'm running into people and men who were working or doing something when they got married, and then they got laid off, and then they decided to go to school. Then they just, and instead of them going and find and doing whatever's necessary to make sure that he was a contributing factor to the family, he put it onto the wife. So now you have two children, and he's doing whatever's necessary. But instead of him working two jobs or doing whatever's necessary to make sure that she can be a mother and a wife, even if she's working, he is depending upon her to pull up the slack and slacking off on his own instead of doing what's necessary and making the sacrifices, even if he doesn't want to secure his family. Men today are no longer taking the secure that I've got to make sure that my family is secure at all times. He's no longer being the protector of
that. I will have to disagree with you on that, Tracy, because not everybody Ken has the wherewithal to go to school full time and work a full time job. It's very
then
difficult.
Then you don't go to school
and then take care of your family.
Right.
So
you don't leave your family hungry and leave it all on your wife.
But as a wife, my husband laid off and my husband is going to school to make a better life for us. I'm going to step up to the plate and
listen to what I'm saying. You're missing the point. If she's not working, if she's not doesn't have that kind of a wherewithal, if she's making $15 an hour and you're making none, you need to do what's necessary. You don't go to school full time and don't work and lay everything on her when you're an able-bodied man. You don't do that.
Yeah, well,
I'll have to
local call, your mic's on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think there's a definite sort of racial dynamic to all of this because Caucasian women have done much better in the workforce than African-American men. And when you talk about marriage relationships, a lot of African-American men have problems in their marriages because they don't have the same level of employment as their wives. Their wives tend to do better in the workforce than they do. But if you're talking about people who are Caucasian, sometimes white men, they choose not to take certain jobs, and they choose to be a stay-at-home dad, whereas their wives can do just as well in the workforce as they can. So I think, like, in terms of the two races, you have one set of men who are making a choice to stay at home, and you have another set of men who don't have any options. And so therefore, they tend to be kind of more dependent on their wives' income.
And what I'm saying is, it's not good. A young man in his 20s and 30s, when he gets married, should not make it to where his wife, her salary added to his, makes up the sum total of the survival of his family.
Yeah,
now,
but,
I don't agree. Hold on, Philadelphia. And I don't agree with house husbands in any way, shape, or form.
I believe that there's some.
I mean, some men are better at certain things, but for him to stay home, I don't. I have a problem with that.
But what I'm saying is that you have a lot of white men who make it to stay at home.
And I'm about white and black.
But Tracy, there's a reason that men are stronger. We really have been in civilization, what, maybe a few thousand years. Most of the time, we are nature to us, and even when we were in certain kingdoms in history, men were stronger vessels. It was more clear why. Whereas now, you could be weak, 90-pound weakling and get, you know, go get a job because you're smart and make a lot of money and do things. But to sit up here and say that women aren't wired a certain way to where they make good mothers and they make good nurturers and the men make good providers because we're wired and built a certain way, if you deny that, then you deny the very nature of how we're created. And if you do that, and a lot of liberals and people that don't have a certain, you know, worldview, be it godly or whatever, they're going to think like that. But the normal person that understands the way things are built and the way people are built, you just look at the design of a woman and the design of a man, it's clear. It is not nobody's better than the other. It's just, man, I can't go out there and multitask and raise the kids. Men aren't as good as that as women. Because
you're
women
not,
are, and this has been proven scientifically.
Alabama, let him get, who was that just said something? I can't get his voice in.
It's Stanley. But
good,
Tracy,
Stanley.
The thing is, everything changed when women basically said, we want to have the same rights. And I have to agree with this. When you did that, that changed the whole dynamic. That changed everything. When women wanted to have that, you have to go with the consequence. The consequence is what it is. Men are
hold on,
men
Alabama.
Are
hold
men,
on.
Rules of
wait,
feminism
men,
apply
men
to Caucasian.
Philadelphia.
Don't apply to African-American.
Philadelphia.
Let me just finish. Men are thinking, why should I be the one providing and doing all this thing when I know you're working as hard as me, you're bringing the money as hard as me and everything, and you have an attitude, and you have this? No, you're not. We're going to be
hold
partners
on.
Now.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on, Stanley. Don't you said partner already. Don't say it twice. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Ms. Tracy, you made me start to think now, you know, as I got older, I'm beginning to realize that I wanted to get married, but when I was a young man, because I didn't have the skills or the education, the more I look back on it, I realize it was best that I didn't get married because just, you know, I probably wouldn't have had the means to take care of a wife or a family. So I can understand where you're coming from, Ms. Tracy. You're really talking about back when I was probably a child, because my father didn't do anything for me, but I won't go there. But I knew men that did go out and work and provide for their family. A lot of times, us men, we feel less than men. We don't provide and be able to take care of our families. So I can understand where you're coming from, because a lot of times I feel that way, because more I begin to realize, I begin to realize, and I knew as a young man I never was going to get married, and now as an older man, I realize it was best that I didn't get married.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Al.
I've got to take a break, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. This is not an indictment on men and or women, but if you look around and what you see is a lot of fractured relationships and a lot of fractured families. A lot of people are getting married right now, but a lot of people aren't staying married. So you go look down 5-6 years later, and you see where they're fractured because of many things, but usually they say that the most thing that people are fractured in their relationship is because of money. And it becomes because who's depending on who for what, who's doing what, who's bringing what, and how is it being done. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, but the number one cause of divorce is money problems, and the number one cause of poverty among children is divorce.
I'll be right back.
Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery.
You know what? They say when people, they say that the person that the way the foot is made, you can run 200 miles. It's the most optimal way to run, right? So when you look at the way a person is designed, it's probably the most optimal way they probably should function. So men and women are designed a certain way, and that is the most optimal way to function. Can you function another way? Look at the black community. We are a matriarchal society, and look at it. Look at it. So, I mean, that's all your proof right there.
That's true.
But Alabama, the thing is, everything changed when – I'm sorry, I have to go back with Jeff and everybody. Why is it man that needs to provide? Providing has – why is it our responsibility to provide for you and give you all those
things? But, Stanley, let me ask you something. You
want
Stanley, I know one thing, Stanley. You're going
to
provide for your woman, Stanley.
You're going to
provide for your woman, and when you get married, Stanley, you're going to provide, and you're going to probably try to run your house the old-fashioned way and be the dominant person and try to make sure you make all
the
decisions.
But the whole problem is this, is that African-American woman, she can't use the same rules that she finds – like in the majority society. I mean, because the problem is her whole situation is completely different in terms of her relationship.
Well, she's black before she's a woman. She's black before she's a woman. So that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and see, also African American men don't have the same options as Caucasian men do. Like in terms of the workforce, and the only thing I wanted to say is that a lot of black men, I mean, they're basically like not able to get the same kind of jobs as white men or Asian men are able to get.
That is further from the truth.
Okay, I can agree with what you guys are saying. If you had a lot of men out here, especially African American males, excluding ones on this phone line, who understood that my wife is contributing to the income by working, so I have to contribute when it comes to the household. You'd be surprised how many men do not understand that if she's working and you're home before her, you need to cook dinner. You need to get the kids together. You need to pick them up for the babysitter. I have a friend right now. She works. She's a nurse. She works 12, 16-hour days shifts sometimes, and she works 7 in the morning. Doesn't get home till probably 8 at night. The husband the husband doesn't take the kids. Let me finish. He does
that's
not
selfish.
Take the kids to their extracurricular activities. She still has
and
her
that's
home.
Selfish, Diva.
He does
that's
not.
Selfish.
And when they're at the babysitter, he does not pick them up. She has to come
Diva,
all the way
you don't have
to her
make
job,
the
pick them up from the babysitter,
that's
and then get them home.
Because that man didn't have that in his family of origin. He didn't see his father.
It doesn't matter. That's common sense.
Diva, that's a trifling behind man.
Okay,
but that's a trifling behind man that
does not step up to that. And so that is not a man. That is trifling. The thing is a man is going to be a man. You don't have men now because you have allowed the government to take the man out of the household by providing a system called welfare in many cases that didn't allow the man to be in it.
Okay,
that was the problem. In 1993, the men are
now allowed to be in the household. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter about 1993. They've learned for 30 years how not to be.
The experience for me is different because my grandfather had to face that, and they had 10 kids.
Everybody didn't suffer
face
the same
he
thing.
He made the choice, Willie Mae, I ain't leaving. You ain't coming leaving.
Hold up. You mean tell me so many other men couldn't do that?
Diva, but hold on, though. This is the thing. Men are about conquest. A man will come work in a company, think about trying to take the company over, a woman will work in a company 20 years. Women are different. They're just different. To sit up here and say that women are the same. Men are conquest. You can look at history and see that men and women are wired different. So I don't know why we're having this debate.
But today you have a lot of very aggressive white women in the workplace too. So you have white men, you have white women that have that same sort of competitive spirit just as much as a man today.
And why the race card keeps getting pulled out here? I've noticed this now. This is probably the seventh or eighth time in the last 7 minutes that the race cards come out.
Because the race card plays a definite factor when it comes to marriage, and because most marriages are based on the amount of money that each partner is able to make, so it's all about economics. And race and economics definitely go hand in hand. That's why
Philadelphia, a white person making more money in their marriage.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree to a certain extent that people should be responsible. But to sit up here and look at your history of your people, and to sit up here and say that your people haven't been very instrumental in placing people in a certain situation means that you just don't know your own history. You really don't, to say something like that.
I know the history very, very well.
Okay, so you sit up here and say, when you hang a person and take his wealth, take it and place him in a certain position, and then go out and strategically go after his people it's your fault. I believe in whole people responsible, but don't sit up here and act like the history of white America has been just peachy clean because it hasn't. Up until now, with the new Jim Crow and all these different things that they're doing.
The African-American community these days has many more tools at their disposal.
We currently have a situation now, sir, where you have
let the man finish, y'all.
Is almost 98% white and Asian.
Alabama, let the man finish.
No,
they refuse.
I'm not talking, man.
Y'all got to calm down.
Okay, Philadelphia, hold on and let the man make his point.
My problem is the whole economic culture in the African-American community is this. What is promoted on BET or by your music artists on average? I'm not saying that every one of them promotes this thug life, this drug dealing, this uneducated running the streets mentality. But
white people own them
companies, artists do.
Alabama, let him finish. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
It promotes these broken homes where getting money is the only goal, and how you go about doing it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whom you hurt. There are scholarships in place. If the African American community gets together and
if you know what happiness is, you clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in studio with Six. That call's on the line. I'm going to change gears.
Man, how many people we got over there?
There's quite a few. They're listening in. And if you want to download the app, you can go to WSOM and you're on your iTunes app or your Mac app or your Android app or your, Play Store,
app,
whatever. Six, listen, I hear that you don't want to get an Android phone. You want to stick with that flip phone.
It's indestructible. Why wouldn't you want to keep an indestructible phone?
Why? What is up with that?
What do I need internet on my phone for? I've got a laptop and a jetpack. I got internet any place I go.
I was going to ask, have you jumped me?
Are they still talking?
Probably.
Jeez,
yeah.
Man.
I got to rat you out though.
What?
The party.
What'd I do?
You looked at my daughter and said you were at Amy's wedding.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
She walked right up to Amy and said you were at Amy's wedding, and she looked at Tracy and says, "I am Amy."
Well,
Tracy, you had a senior moment.
Man, that wasn't a senior moment. That was just crazy.
So, what'd you think of that turkey?
The turkey was good. The turkey was good, but you just cheated. That's all. You cheated because you cheat. You cheated.
I didn't plan that. That was my birthday party.
It doesn't matter. You might not have planned it, but they were following your instructions. That's why we didn't have ribs. Memorial Day picnic. Turkey sandwiches on Memorial Day.
They had hot dogs.
They had hot dogs and they had sloppy Joe. It was like, it was pasta, pasta galore. Anything that could spread far and feed a many, they had. Anything else? Don't come there if you're gonna get a steak at Sticks House on Memorial Day. Don't come.
I swear, it just goes to show how different white people and black people are.
That is true. That is true.
That is the standard, and my wife told Tracy that. That is the standard graduation slant birthday party menu.
Well, no, we have birthday parties. We go to a restaurant and tell everybody to buy their own meal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's just how Diva does things. That's just how I do things. But not typically. I do a birthday party, my 31st birthday party. I fed everybody. See, with black people, is we have a choice of meats, and we might have a small selection of sides, but we're big on the meat. And we're big on the beef and the chicken.
We have a party, and you got ribs, chicken.
Yeah.
Barbecue ribs, barbecue chicken, baked hamburger, and hot dogs. Baked beans, not out of a can, but baked beans that have been baked. You've had potato salad, macaroni and cheese, green beans and greens, and maybe, if you're lucky, some macaroni and cheese.
What do you mean, maybe if you're lucky? It ain't no party unless you got the homemade macaroni and cheese. What are you talking about?
That's a black birthday party.
Okay.
I don't even eat it, but I expect there to be some macaroni and cheese.
Hey, Diva, I want to go to St. Martin for my birthday. I think everybody ought to go, don't you?
St. Martin's, when is it? When?
In January for Martin Luther King weekend. I think we ought to celebrate abroad.
That is on my bucket list.
See?
So.
Everybody have
to
get a
picture. You're inviting everybody to your birthday party going Dutch.
Wait a minute. The party on St. Martin. That one night,
you do get
hors d'oeuvres for the party, some cake. You got to buy your own whatever you drink, and you got to buy.
Now you know I'm a liberal. You know You know I'm like, hey, you got to foot the bill. You know I like everything free.
No. We don't do free. I'm a conservative. We don't do free. Pay your own way. BYOF. Buy your own flight. BYOFH. Buy your own flight and hotel. BYOFM. Bring your own money.
We need some more government programs. We need another government program that can fund this trip.
No, Diva, awesome. We ain't going to jail. We can't go to jail. Hey, you listening to Tracy?
We just lobby Congress and say everybody deserves free vacations and St. Martin's, and we can coincide around that time.
No. We're not going to jail.
Taxpayer-funded St. Martin's.
You know what, Diva, that's what's wrong with you liberals. See, that's why you're always getting indicted, because y'all always want to fund something on public dollars. No, we don't do that.
It'd be lovely.
Hey, maybe we could get, why don't we start Kickstarter? Maybe we could fund it on Kickstarter.
No, I want to do Kickstarter for a cause. I don't want to do it for a wolf.
Yeah, but if you're honest,
everybody save up and go.
Now there's a concept we don't hear anymore.
I can't help that, but they don't hear about what I'm talking about: women being wives and husbands being men being husbands. You know, you don't hear that concept anymore, anyhow. I'm talking about old fashioned day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm old fashioned. I can't help it. You should save up to go, and you have a woman should be a wife. Eventually, she should become that.
They say amen. the best vacation you ever took is the one that
Amen corner out there. Who is that?
Oh, this is Brother Man.
Who?
This is Brother Man.
Hi, Brother Man. How are you?
Oh. Good. I liked your program this morning. You hit the nail on the head as to how we should live, that we should be prosperous. But when you lump in both incomes and you're spending out of both incomes, that's foolishness. And I don't know what these other folks are talking about, because what they were talking about was how to tear the family down. But you gave them the formula for building the family up. And
that's all I'm trying to do. I just want to get married one day, and I want to let them know I can be a wife.
Yeah.
Get an old-fashioned man.
You
but I ain't having
right.
no kids.
We weren't tearing down familial units like that. We were just, at least my perspective on this is explain why it has to be this way. Because all it feels like
because
is
it works.
That's just a sexist
because,
standpoint.
Because
works,
we know
though.
That, we know no matter what. I got to find out where all these people are calling from. But we know that the way that I just said, we know that it works. Because when you look at our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and they say, how long have you been married? We celebrating 62 years. What? Are you kidding me?
You
we
also
can't stay together
and
6 minutes.
And every one of those people is Philadelphia.
And they've been dirt poor, too.
No.
Mentality.
Stanley. Lay, guys, you know I cannot handle. We said we was going to talk one at a time. Hold up.
And if they're honest, which most of them are at that age, they'll tell you, I've always loved her, but there was days that I didn't like her very much.
And you're gonna have those days. But but there has to be an order inside that family. And if you don't have, men tell me that the biggest problem with women is that we don't respect them.
Well, and Stanley's saying it's a different mentality. Yeah, and the family's falling apart because we've fled from the mentality of the way things really work.
They told me, all men tell me that women don't respect men anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they tell me. They said women right now, they don't respect men, and it's hard to be in a relationship where you're not respected.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so what I'm saying is women, we need to learn how to respect our men, but we need to find a place and get in it. And what happens is we want to be, I am woman him, and I have to go back to one of the callers when he called and he says, 989. He said, not only do we want to be covered, but we want to be everything else, and we want you to pamper us too. He's right, and you can't have all that.
Because
and
women
we
have been given more roles because of feminism. They
but
have
again,
more
and
roles.
And if you guys know this, I am totally against feminism. I do not like the feminist movement. I think it was demonic from the root. I think it was a bad way to go. And this is just my personal opinion.
But I would have to ask a question. Just because that movement came about, as individuals, do we have to accept it? Me, for one, no, I reject it. And I will date and be with a man who also rejects that movement.
But
so
again,
just because it was out there and put forth doesn't mean you have to accept it.
What I'm saying, but if you look at society at large, the whole society is built around the feminist movement. So even if you reject it, you still participate in it. And I don't think we understand
right.
the conditioning of that.
She is right. You cannot avoid it anymore in any way, shape, or form anymore. I mean, as a matter of fact, the whole society as of today is that everyone has to bend to an individual's will. Someone has look, for example, you guys remember the Duck Dynasty thing that happened not too long ago where the man was promoting religion in the magazine? What happened there? A smaller market of the community got upset at this because this man voiced his opinion, and it wasn't popular to them. They made this man bend to their will.
And that's exactly what society look at. What was that cook's name? Paula Deen.
Yeah.
27 they didn't like what later. She said 30 years ago. Now she no longer has a job. And the same thing goes with feminism. If a man doesn't like something, feminists will make that man bend to them. You cannot
avoid
it
anymore. In your own household, you have the power in your own, within your own household.
Philadelphia, hold on.
Politically correct.
Hold on, guys. I'm not going to let him do it. Go ahead, Diva.
In your own household, you have the power. No one else. You have the power
to
set the agenda, set the rules.
That's not true anymore. And that's, Diva, that's not true. Because if that be the case, that's not true. In my own household, I'm supposed to have the ability to do what I choose, but I don't have that power anymore because we've taken that away.
If I choose a more conservative, old-fashioned, traditional stance, or look at the Duggars, very old-fashioned, very traditional.
The who?
Bothering them people. The Duggars, very old-fashioned, very traditional. They are
who
like,
the
I'm surprised chicks don't know who I'm talking about. These people got 19
people
kids.
Yeah.
Still very self-sufficient. The mother doesn't work. She's never had to work. He's always,
aren't
even
they,
when he had like seven kids, he
they
always
Mormons?
Knew what he had to do to provide for
are.
His family.
But Diva, but listen, that's not real. What I'm saying is they don't allow that anymore. We don't allow that anymore. We don't.
What do you
we,
mean
we,
you don't allow that
because,
anymore?
Because we are so far away from any type of we don't even know and to be perfectly honest, we really don't even know how to respect each other anymore in our roles. We don't even know what that means. Go ahead.
You are correct in saying that we do not respect each other in any form. It's not just relationships either. And, you know, it's a matter of we became a want-it-now society, a society of convenience, and a society of, like, the Internet, for example, anonymous communication, where we used to actually, you know, respect one another and hold in our thoughts. Now we just say whatever we want and whatever we think and to be damned with other people because they're now disposable.
That's
so
a problem.
That's just on top of everything else.
I mean, you can't. You don't discipline your children anymore. There are so many things.
You
that
can't.
That's what I'm saying.
Will
so
stop you from disciplining yourself. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So even in the family role, you know, you say, in my own house, I can do this. I don't think most of us have ever really seen any longer a family unit that has a hierarchy and a respect one for another. Because when we were being raised. If you had an older cousin or older sibling, you weren't allowed to call them by their first name. So, because sometimes, you know, there were children that came in, you know, they didn't have birth control, so children would show up real late.
Mm-hmm.
And so your sister or brother may be 25 years, 30 years older than you, and you would have to call them Miss something or something, but you could not just call them by their first. There had to be respect there. And if they had a husband, you just couldn't call him by his first name, nor would you allow to be as a little girl and flaunt yourself around them.
For example, my Uncle Monroe,
yeah,
he's not my uncle.
See
he's
what
my,
I mean?
He's my mom's cousin's husband.
Because you had to have respect for him
right.
Because he was older. We don't do that anymore. We don't have, if there's a woman, she doesn't cover herself because of modesty anymore. We just disregard everything that has to do with any type of morality and respect, self-respect as well as respect for others. You in schools, you know, kids can now say anything to teachers. There's some things I would like to go back and tell a couple of teachers now that I couldn't tell them then. And kids today get away with saying it. And there's no parent that comes in because they're at work not paying attention. And they can't get off from work to call on the phone to be there in front of that teacher and say, listen, you did my son wrong. So the child takes care of himself.
Yeah, that's true.
And we wonder what's wrong. We don't. There's no respect. How in the heck can you come home as a young person and then tell your parents off and everybody says, oh, he's just having a bad day today. What the heck is that? Well, mommy says it. I mean, parents didn't argue in their face with their kids and where you just saw it blatantly, cuss them out, emasculate them each other completely, and then look at the kid and he's sitting there watching television.
And what's wrong with do as I say, not as I do?
We don't do that anymore. I'll be right back.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If a man is dependent upon my income, as, yeah, I'm going to have a hard time respecting him, too. I'm just sorry. I'm not going to.
But why, but Diva, why? Why are you going to have a hard time respecting him? Respect has nothing
hold
to
on.
Do with
Diva,
income.
One second.
Wait, Diva, I want to ask the question to Diva. What respect has nothing to do with the income, has nothing to do. You could have a great man having
because
all the money in the world.
Are you
going to
have to
give
you
going to
give a run at
wealth and income.
Diva,
that's
what
a lot of marriages are based
on. Respect.
A lot of people get into marriage and with children because they're trying to fit into a certain social network.
Look, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I really do not care about your white versus
black. You don't care about what?
Ideology right now. I'm just going by what works for me, what works for me in a marriage. And fact of the matter is,
but
that I am a traditional.
But I'm giving my opinion as well.
Can I answer it?
They get into marriages because they're trying to get into certain social networks.
Most
marriages are based on money.
Look, we are talking
about
me here. We're talking about me here, okay? We're not talking about everybody else. I'm talking about me. I can only speak for myself. Fact of the matter is, I am an old-fashioned, old-school girl. I've seen how my grandparents stayed married. I've seen how, because my mother had this independent mindset, and she never got married. So, therefore, I feel that traditionally, and because I've been in both situations in my marriage, I know it works for me. If I have to sit up there and do everything and work, then, no, I'm not going to respect you.
To make more money than she does. That goes without saying. Most women would expect the man to have more wealth, to have more income than the wife. Most people would expect that. But what I'm saying is the way it is today is marriages are based on economics, and people have children because they're trying to fit into a social network with their friends because all of their friends have children. So a lot of children are just a form of like an accessory to the –
Again, Philadelphia, I'm not talking about most people. He didn't ask me about most people. He asked me about
– they're trying to build – that they're trying to display to the world.
I didn't have a child because I was just trying to display something. And I'm not going to have more children. If I was to have more children, just because I'm trying to fit in with the Joneses. If that was the case, I'd have had a bunch of kids already. But
that's
not my
case.
Okay,
but
that's what we're talking about. He asked
the
question, and you come in
based on my observation and on my opinion, that's what I've observed the way most people behave.
Okay, but the fact is, you jumped in, cross Stanley, when he was asking me a question based on something that I said. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, because Stanley didn't even get.
And I still have a problem with your answer, Diva.
I don't care if you
like,
have a problem with my answer.
Wait.
It's like, I don't care that you
Diva,
expect
Diva,
for a wife to do 50-50. That's you.
Diva,
that's how you
Diva,
that's how you
Diva,
want your lifestyle and your marriage. That's
Diva,
fine.
Diva,
so how you going to have a problem with me wanting my life to be a certain way? I don't understand
Diva,
that.
Let me just
I don't care.
What I'm saying, and then you could come back. I have a problem with what you're saying because you're saying the money has more importance than the character of a man. That's what you're saying. Because
no, that's not what I'm saying.
Wait. Let me just finish. Because you could have men, and I know men who had all the money in the world, but treated their girlfriend and wife like shit. Which one would you take? A woman?
I didn't say he has to have a lot of money. I didn't say he has to be wealthy. I expect him to be a hard worker and someone who's going to do what needs to be done and necessary to take care of his family. I don't care if he's working at McDonald's. And we can't be going out and living a luxury life, I don't care. All I'm saying is I want to play my part and play my role as wife and mom, and he plays his part as husband and provider. That's what I want for my life.
I don't agree that the man should be the provider of you.
But that's you. I'm pretty sure you don't agree with that. You and your modern day philosophy on relationships. That's you. I'm not you. I'm not that girl. I'm an old school, old fashioned girl. That's how, when you look at how I want my marriage to last. When I say till death do us part, I don't want to go through another divorce. And when you look at his history with
longing
marriages, what worked today doesn't work.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a perfect example in my family and everything. My mom married for 20, 30 years, and it worked perfectly. So that has nothing to do with marriage doesn't last. I'm sorry. It worked perfectly in my
It won't work for me. It may work for you, and if you get wife, who thinks exactly as you, who shares the same ideals and values as you, you guys can have a long-lasting marriage. But when you got two people in a marriage who have mixed values, it's not going to work.
I agree.
Diva, is that your name, ma'am?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just a little lost here. Can't keep track of everyone. I do agree, and don't get me wrong with this, I do agree a lot of the old ways are better, or at least they were better in most sense. The problem I have with this is that a man not being the breadwinner in the family should have no real impact on the cohesiveness of a family unit. In a sense of, as long as someone's at home taking care of those kids, teaching them right from wrong, to be moral, to be to have a good heart, to do what is right, it shouldn't matter if the woman is working or the man is working, as long as there is a tight familial unit. And that's the reason why Americans are failing as a whole. If you look at the Indian culture, and as they come over here, they are very, very close-knit with families. You know, all their money goes back into building their business, which supports their entire family.
You rarely see an Indian woman working outside the home, working in some capacity in a family business. Yes.
That's not true.
Three Indian women doctors. So you can't say that ain't true. But in traditional Indian families, technology and in medicine.
Are they married?
Indian women.
They married.
They work. What?
Absolutely.
Married.
Absolutely.
In traditional Indian families.
Yes.
And what you're saying is not true.
I'm not saying it's not true.
Me. What works for someone else works for them. If the gentleman caller who asked me the question, if something works for him differently than works for me, then God bless you. I have no problem with that. And there's no reason why we should jump all over people when they have made a choice and a decision for their lives. I've been married. I worked while I was married, and I was a stay-at-home wife when I was married. I know when I was a stay-at-home wife, we didn't have any problems. When I ended up having, well, we had financial problems, so I had to go out and work. When I had to go out and work because of our finances,
it
did cause a lot of resentment.
Why did it cause you a lot of resentment, Diva? Why?
Because I'm old fashioned. I felt like
why did it cause you to make a lot of money for the household, I guess you could stay at home. Yeah, well, why did it give you resentment? You're going out and you're helping your family.
I didn't choose to work. It wasn't a choice that I chose for myself. It was something that I needed to do to survive.
I don't understand the resentment. I don't understand. You did what you needed to do.
Really, if you
would
shut up sometimes and let me answer your question instead of talking over me while I'm trying to answer, you would understand why.
Sorry, Diva.
The fact of the matter is he was not responsible with money. And so we couldn't get our bills paid. So I had to take it upon myself to say, you know what, I'm just going to get a job so I can make sure everything is right. That was not right, and I had to do everything. I had to work full-time. I had to come home and take care of our daughter, and I had to clean. He expected me to clean. The only thing he contributed was cooking.
Okay, okay.
He's trifling.
That caused a lot of resentment.
Okay, but let's go to one thing at a time. Did he take care of the kid, yes or no? Did he take care of your daughter? He never took care of your daughter, never did something with your daughter. He basically saw your daughter and was doing nothing.
Rarely took care of our daughter.
Well, there was qualities that you should have found out before you got into a relationship.
Yeah,
we also find out before we got married we didn't have a baby and we didn't have any problems
with
it.
Talk about it. Those are
first
talk about
it. Exactly. You should have talked about those things. Look, when we have
well, trust me, we talked about it. It just didn't pan out that way. You can talk all you want, and somebody can tell you for the longest time this is how they're being, and then you get into
head
it,
back and,
they actually change.
Here on WSLM AM 600, the number is 347-945-5229. And I'm here and having this conversation, and I'm going to go to Afghanistan for a minute, and I probably before the day is out, and we'll finish start up on tomorrow. The president bringing the troops home, because that'll be a day show, and I want to talk about that in depth because I disagree with how he's done what he's done, and I don't think he knows what he's doing, and it just is what it is. And y'all can just disagree with me on tomorrow. But the pull down the new president over there. He's lost all his bargaining chips. He has shown his hand, and I don't think he understands. You don't have to do all that.
The first rule of warfare is you never tell your
enemy what you're doing.
And enemy ahead of time when you're going to quit.
Well, why not? It just makes sense to me. You know,
they'll just sit down and just wait for you to leave.
Listen, I'm going to come over to your house today at 4 o'clock, and I will whip you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600.
So when the Taliban takes control of Afghanistan again,
you think they will?
And we go back to having women having the clitorectomies and all the things that was going on before we went over there. You think
they're doing
anybody
that
will
still?
Care?
No.
You think anybody will care?
We've already said they don't care.
Marrying off 8-year-olds. And
what's wrong with that? Maya Angelou has passed away. She was 86, I believe. And she did Why the Cage Bird Sings and Phenomenal Woman. So, Eric, what's going on, Doc?
Not much. I'm downtown getting my car serviced. That's what all the noise is. How about a Mocha House?
You sound down the Mocha House. You're downtown warm.
Yeah.
It sounds like you were actually working on it yourself.
No, they don't like me because I'm always around, hovering around, making sure they do it right.
Well, put your phone on mute when you do that.
But yeah, I think that moving the troops out, I think that's a bad idea because there's strength in numbers. If you're gonna take them, if you're gonna get rid of them, I say bring them all home. Don't leave half of them there and put them in harm's way like that.
But we always leave. We always have a remnant behind. That's nothing new. We're still in Korea, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the Korean War is not over.
The Korean War is not over.
No, it's still, no. We just signed an armistice. We did not sign a peace agreement. The Korean War is still on.
That.
What do you,
the war never ended.
Hello? Isn't that like, how long the Korean War been?
50s, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, early 50s.
So 64 years? 60?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're still rolling in the Korean War?
Yeah.
Still firing
across
the line
at
each
other. DMZ. Wait a minute. But they told me the longest war we've had was Afghanistan. Well, where'd the Korean... I thought we was done.
Well, see, that people don't know their history.
What they're saying is the longest active war is Afghanistan, no doubt. The problem is that Korea is not really an active war. It is, you've drawn a line, a DMZ line, and nobody can cross those two lines, and those people exist in Germany was split all the way up to Gorbachev knocking down the wall. So you have to understand that that's what they mean. It's an active war with two active sides ready to kill each other at any time, and they still fire across the line at each other.
Okay, let's go back to this. What I said earlier.
Limbo.
So we still playing around. We're still playing around with Korea, and then we're going to drop down to a little bit under 10,000 troops by the end of this year, and be completely out by 2016.
What's going to happen in Afghanistan is the Taliban is going to come back over from Pakistan back into Afghanistan, and they're going to take the country back over the way it was.
Well, why don't you call President Obama and let him know that? Because I don't think he knows that.
The reason why he went into Afghanistan, I think the military was trying to get control of the heroin market. That's the reason why you see the spikes in terms of the heroin overdoses on the East Coast, because evidently those poppy plants are making their way over into America now.
We've been on poppy for a long time.
Very high doses of heroin abuse now. So evidently, somebody in the.
Yeah, part of the reason heroin's on the rise is because you've got so many people that are addicted to prescription drugs, and heroin's easier to get.
Hold on. Heroin's injected. Am I correct?
Yes.
That's a long leap.
Afghanistan.
So,
and they're allowing.
Philadelphia. I need to get other people in. 989. Where are you from?
Michigan.
Oh, welcome to Ohio.
Okay.
So. The troops that I believe that they're going to wait, because you know people who of Islamist faith, they're very very patient people.
Yes.
They will wait. I think they're going to come back over Philadelphia. Wait. I think they're going to come back over from where they are, and I don't think Al Qaeda and or their love of America has changed.
No, it'll just go back to being like it was before we invaded the first time.
So we'll have to go back again.
I don't think we can afford to go back again. I don't think we have the finances to do it, and I don't think we have the national will to do it. Unless they park a couple of more airplanes into a couple of buildings.
Well, here's the thing. We are still trying to train their security forces over there. I get updates from my friends over in Afghanistan. Who some are actually training the troops in different projects such as construction or security. I don't think their drawout schedule is going to go according to plan at all. I mean, Obama's been saying that we're supposed to shut down Gitmo how many times? Yeah, it's for the last, 6-7 years almost, he said, oh, we're going to go there and Guantanamo will shut down. Is it still open
still
to this day? Yes, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's still there.
It would have been a lot easier to shut down that.
Hold on, Diva.
Then,
go ahead. Go ahead, Mickey.
It would be a lot easier to shut down a base like that than it would be to unmobilize, you know, a couple hundred thousand troops. So I think that this is just a for show, nothing more. Doing something.
Let me ask you this, since you've got friends that are over there. I understand they're having trouble with turncoats within the Afghani defense forces. And the reason that I've been told that is because they're afraid that if they don't show that they are loyal to the Taliban, once the Americans leave, they're dead. Is that true, or is that something you've heard?
No, that topic has not come up.
Okay.
What I have been told about their culture is that they're extremely easily offended. The Taliban have more control over their families, and that's what what happens is that a drone strike or we kill off an Afghani who's a Taliban,
it tends to create, it tends to create two or three more in its place because we keep on inflaming already, a raw situation already. And actually, if we want to stop there being so many new Taliban recruits, we need to stop being a presence in the region.
Thank you.
I'm just looking at this, and I'm watching this. You know, it was Veterans Day on Monday.
Memorial Day.
Day before yesterday. It was coming up tomorrow, actually, the 31st,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's Armistice Day.
Who? Armistice Day?
It was originally Armistice Day.
Okay.
Armistice Day.
And then we have this big VA debacle. And then now we're talking about bringing the troops home. I mean, the timeline is really
what. People have known about the VA hospital for a long time. It's usually
it's
the
Philadelphia.
Worst doctors are the ones that work at the VA.
Philadelphia.
The ones that
Who?
Have
Philadelphia. Do you not hear?
What?
I didn't ask a question. What I'm saying is I'm looking at the timeline of the press releases and if you go from the VA and the Vietnam administration and the problem that they're having there, then you have the president going over to Afghanistan with the troops on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
You have this huge conversation that he has about him wanting to make sure the troops are taken care of. Then 2 days later, he comes out on the lawn, or a day later, he comes out on the lawn and says, the withdrawal of the troops in Afghanistan. And the timeline is just a little bit off for me because we still haven't dealt with the major problem that of letting people die while trying to get appointments in several hospitals throughout the VA.
What I was saying is that the VA situation has been building a long time. And there have been problems with VA hospitals all over the country. In fact, 5 years ago, the VA hospital that's located in Pennsylvania, they had a massive type of malpractice suit that happened where people who had prostate cancer were not getting the proper treatment, and people were being burned with, like, types of radiation treatment.
We know what's going on there. The question is, why is the president tending to just try to act as though if he comes out with a troop withdrawal, it's going to change the conversation about what's going on there?
But that's something that the media and politics constantly do.
This has been going on for a very long time, but he's trying to change the conversation, and I'm trying to say don't let the conversation change because they're going to bring these kids home. We need to go back to the conversation that when you bring them home, you still got to take care of them.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Ma'am, actually, this will help a little bit if you look at it. The problem with the VA overcrowding and not being able to get in appointments is the fact that we have one of the largest standing military this country has ever had throughout its history. We have more active and reserve troops than we've ever had. So that is putting an incredible strain on the VA system. So by removing a lot of these active people from, you know, war zones, that is going to limit their health problems. Their next step after bringing them home would be for them to start dwindling the number of the armed forces. And what I'm hearing from all my military friends is it's already in place, that they're starting, there's less promotions going on, and they're trying to wean out a lot of people.
But there are tons of military veterans that are not eligible for VA.
Correct.
Huh?
Absolutely.
I'm not eligible for VA benefits.
Why?
VA medical benefits.
Why?
Because my age group, we're all means tested.
I thought it was all means tested.
No, it's not. Depending upon what years of active service, whether you were in actual combat or not.
Right.
There are I don't know how many, Jeff, probably 15 different categories.
Absolutely. I was in going to be able to be treated 20 years ago, but they changed the date of the Vietnam War to be 6 months before I actually enlisted.
Do you find yourself
what? Yeah.
Vietnam
era,
yeah, because Vietnam era went up to December 31st of 1976, which is my enlistment date. Okay, well, they changed that then to July of that a year instead. So I missed it. I'm not eligible. And so,
right,
you know, it's they wean you out here and there, and they make sure you don't get on certain things. It's just like, you know, they wasted time on that Agent Orange. Oh, they drug
their feet. Yep.
A lot of those guys died, and you know, because they didn't want to be culpable.
Yeah, we've been screwing our veterans for the last 30 years.
And
when I went in 86, the families, your family got 100% medical care.
Right.
Our son cost us $5. I had to buy our groceries. But everything else was paid for the delivery and all, and the prenatal and everything. Now they have co-pays. They have to pay for their own insurance. For their dependents.
So I'm looking. So going back to
and what they did to me, I retired as a reservist, and the original deal was I was supposed to get medical care when I'm 59 and a half, with no copays or anything. Now I've got copays and everything else to go with it.
So going back to the dialogue of the political landscape of the president. We're talking about the VA and the VA not doing what they're supposed to do. We know that it's bad. He goes over to Afghanistan talking about how he cares for the veterans that are there, but yet he's done nothing for it in the time that he's been in. And then all of a sudden, yesterday he comes out and says we're going to draw down the troops in Afghanistan, and no one's questioning the timeline and looking at the political spin that he's trying to put on this?
Yeah,
I can't really say he hasn't done anything at all, because I know when my ex-husband started experiencing his problems with PTSD dealing with being in Iraq, that was around the time where the VA was changing their system, the file claims, and getting the backlog of claims, and it was laws passed to where now I think it can't take no longer than 12 months to process a claim. So he got his claim processed in an amount of time, and I've heard that sometimes it takes years to get a process claim for
I've got friends and family members that are still that were in the Vietnam War. They came on the show and they talked about being in I guess they had rat holes or something.
Right.
And they said they still have not been processed to this day.
Well, that's the big scandal right now is the VA said that everything has to be processed in a certain amount of time. So what they did was they ran two lists. They ran the backlog list, and then once you got high enough on the backlog list, they put you on a list where that they turned in for records.
So go ahead. Oh, go ahead, South Carolina. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Listen, good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, they went through that backlog of Agent Orange, and they fought Agent Orange for years and years. Then all of a sudden, there was a huge amount of veterans, Vietnam veterans, that got paid for Agent Orange. I know several of them here in Darlington. And now they did that, and they just kind of slowed down. They're not concerned. I mean, you got a set amount of dollars, and they got to do a set amount of things with it. And anything else other than that, they're going to rush. They're going to just push it under the rug. They're not going to service those guys. I don't know why.
Tracy.
I don't know why you believe that mess. I mean, you listen to them make a speech over in Afghanistan. He tells them how much he loves them and how much he's going to do for them. We can see what's going to happen with that. Look what he's done for the black community. How much he loved them. What's he done for them? Nothing.
Wow. Go ahead, Jeff.
The Republicans out of the House have passed 12 VA reform bills and sent them up to the Senate. Harry Reid has stepped on and sat on every last one of them, including the 14 jobs bills that the Republicans have sent up, and Harry Reid has sat on 14 of those. They have no intention of helping anybody but their own personal interest. And the only reason why we're getting out and we're announcing today that we're getting out is because the VA thing is so heavy, they're going down further in the polls for the midterm elections, further than they were in the first place, and they have to stop the erosion. And this is to the base, to get out of Afghanistan base, which he got more people killed in than Bush did, and also that he got said was the just war. But he never even hit a lick at a stick at that place for nothing, and those people are dying over there for nothing.
My uncle, to the day he died, fought the VA over his Agent Orange issues. I can't remember how many times I had to drive him up to Cleveland to argue with those people, and they did nothing for him. He died as a result of those complications.
Right.
You still get it, though.
And one of those bills was 3 pages long, and Bernie Sanders said they didn't have time to read it before they recessed for Memorial Day. But yet we got a 2,200-page health care bill.
Yeah. Passed within 2 freaking weeks.
Yeah. Well, that bill was laying in a desk drawer for the last 10 years.
I got you.
You know, that's the thing. That's the thing with the health care law.
And
we got that guy coming up.
And they tell me that the Medicare and this public health system that we have now is going to be just like the VA.
Yeah, that's worse. That's what they want, because it's just like the National Health Service in Britain. And the same problems that the VA is having are the same problems that are happening in Great Britain. The same exact types of service problems. And the National Health Service in Britain has something like 4 times the number of administrators that they have doctors.
How if they can't take care of the ones they have, how are you going to put more people on the system and think you're going to take care of them? South Carolina, you ought to know the answer to that.
Okay, hello, again, Tracy?
You ought to know the answer. How are you going to put more people on the system if you can't take care of the veterans that you already have on there?
Well, you can't do it. It's just a physical impossibility. I mean, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. And it came out of the mouth of Sarah Palin. It's called death panels.
Oh, they're in the
ration
bill.
Ration care.
They're in the law.
Ration care.
Independent patient advisory board. And it's going to happen. And you have to understand Ezekiel Emanuel, because Ezekiel Emanuel says the average American is using too much health care, so we have to cut down on the amount of health care that an American citizen uses. And that's what the entire ACA or Obamacare law is all about, is about rationing care to people.
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead, Diva.
Okay, so there was a veterans bill that was passed in the House, came up for a Senate, that would have expanded the amount of medical facilities that we have, and would have helped release the strain, because I think a lot of problems that we're seeing now is dealing with all the Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans that we have. But that bill was blocked by Senate Republicans because they would not agree to sanctions for Iran. So you tell me, what does Iran have to do with our veterans? Because that's exactly what happened with that bill.
What are you talking about?
You guys want to talk? You guys want to talk about the VA? You want to talk about how Obama's not doing enough? Well, this is the legislative process that's going on. Nothing can get done because of partisan politics that's going on in Congress right now. So I don't think it's one-sided.
It always when you want to refer to the Republicans. It's never partisan when Harry Reid
Go ahead, Michigan. You had some insight on this.
Yeah, they've tried attaching that amendment to like so many bills. It was a veterans bill. They attached it to food stamp bills, farming bill. They tried attaching that Iran stipulation on just about anything that they could, just to get it noticed, which honestly, that passing that bill wouldn't have changed anything, and all it was a power play through and through. So I think that maybe this next election, everyone needs to look at situations like these and vote accordingly, where someone not liking Iran
that they're willing to harm our veterans or our poor and needy. So that's just my thoughts on it. But
it's just amazing. And I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back. But it's just amazing how the conversation is not here. It's everywhere else but here. And so I'm talking about caveat. What we're talking about today, you don't hear this conversation in the marketplace.
No.
You hear all of a sudden, instead of the president going back and saying, we're going to fix what's going on in the Veterans Administration, we're going to fix what's going on here. It's not an unfixable problem.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It is, because Congress is the problem.
This has been going on before President Obama got there. He said he was going to fix it.
The same things are
going to
need the budget.
Diva, it was going on before. It doesn't take money to fix everything.
No, because they've increased the VA budget by 30% in the last 5 years.
Money doesn't cure everything.
Money can make things worse, actually. The problem with the VA is in its structure, because the doctors that work for the VA are on a salary. They clock out and go home at 4 o'clock. The VA has literally had issues where doctors were in the middle of surgeries, and it came time to go home, and they put their stuff down and walked out.
And see, not only that. It's the paperwork, the processes. They can fix some of these, even if they do nothing else but give some of these guys vouchers to go to their regular hospitals, just like you would a Medicare program. There's ways to fix this problem.
They also don't get the best doctors either. They get
Again,
a lot of foreign doctors at the VA.
You got to go to work today or something?
Hey Diva. It takes less time for someone to get Social Security disability than it takes for a veteran to get a VA disability.
I know that, and that sucks. And that's horrible.
But again, some of these problems are fixable, and we don't want to fix them. I'll be right back. Hold on, Lunchbox. I see that you gotta go. Thank you for calling in. Please come back again. It's been a pleasure having you on. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I'm so excited.
But from what I understood, the VA records were not computerized, or something was, because I spoke to the VA who handled my then husband's case. It was his case, and I was just wondering, why does it take so long? I said, why is it quicker for someone to get on Social Security disability or SSI than it does for someone who has been in a combat zone to get veterans? It's a lot of red tape that goes in. You know, when you're signing up for Social Security and disability, all it takes is for your doctor, if you have one, to say, yes, this person is disabled. Send those records to the Social Security, and then they make a finding. VA is a lot more. I don't understand it. I think it's highly unfair that someone who is on SSI or somebody applies for SSI or disability, in light of what's going on with me, I just apply for my disability, and they're telling me that it's going to take 90 days to 180 days when it takes years for a veteran to get their disability. That pisses me off. That makes me very upset.
But it probably has to do with the severity of illness in the veteran in comparison to somebody.
You went in a combat zone. You got your legs blown off, limbs blown off, suffer from PTSD, mental trauma. It should not take that long. It shouldn't take that much.
It has to do with bureaucracy, guys.
Yes,
to do with bureaucracy. Okay? Uh-huh. You know, they started cooking the books years ago, and now they got to keep cooking the books. It's just like when you tell a lie, you got to tell 15 more to cover it up.
Well, how they take care of their military personnel, I don't care what nobody say, active or whether you're a veteran. How they take care of people is just ridiculous. It makes no sense that some soldiers have to go on food stamps. Some bases are set up are based. It has a class system. It's shoddy housing. It just makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, you're gonna in the military. Now, here's the thing: when you're active duty military, bottom line is you don't have any rights, and you have to go in whatever they put you in. And, you know, a famous thing in the Marine Corps is if the Marine Corps wanted you to have a wife, they would have issued you one in boot camp. So that's kind of tight.
The Army is different, because the Army embraces family. The Army encourages
And at least that was the case with my ex. Maybe that's why he maybe it was just his drill sergeant where he was at. But they encouraged those soldiers to build a family, to get married, and then family life was very big at Fort Campbell. They really stressed that.
They didn't stress that at the Corps.
But the one thing I didn't like was living on a military base. You have all these people, and they only had one hospital. How are you gonna have one freaking hospital? And that's the only hospital you go to. And it had all the services in that one hospital. So if you need a specialty service, you was put on the wait list. Or you had to wait for a special clearance to go outside of the base and get a doctor then. And that included your family. That's stupid.
Yeah, if you get your legs blown off, it should be a no-brainer. It's like, hello, this guy needs help. What are y'all doing?
Exactly.
Hey, somebody coming home, and
they're suffering from PTSD, they can't function. They're fully functioning before. Now they can't function. They have nightmares, and you're trying to figure out, is there really a problem?
Listen, I got my disability, VA disability, in 91 days. The reason why I did that was because, number one, I had my medical records with me to document the injury, a copy of it anyway, to document the injury. Number two, when they did the x-ray, they saw the pins and they saw the wire in my foot. So there was no denying it. And the almost 5-inch scar, you know, that they had to put there to repair my foot after it got crushed. So there was no doubt. And my mind went through pretty quickly. Now, I know another guy who had a knee injury, and he had to have 3 surgeries on his knee. Now, you got this one back before he hit on the topic. He had 2 on one side and 1 on the other side. All right? It took him 5 years to get a disability. 5 years.
That's just like the congressman. Yes, he is a Republican congressman. He was at West Point, okay? He hurt his foot doing something,
we're
right?
Back. And you listen to
he qualified for like 60% disability.
I wanted to touch on the Afghanistan thing and the group drawdown. I wanted to touch on that a little bit today. I know we talked about relationships and family, and that's where, you know, because I think that's what's wrong with our country. But this Afghanistan thing and this White House and how they're going about getting it done. Just bothers me. And then finding out that the White House accidentally leaked a name of a spy over in Afghanistan on a list. Come on, guys.
I'm telling you.
This is incompetent at its highest level.
This is the White House that can't be
sure. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
No. I mean, come on, y'all. There's something wrong here.
This is the Carter administration on steroids.
Y'all keep on messing with Carter. Why y'all keep on messing with the peanut guy?
Carter put.
I'm like, are you serious? Because the last president that had a CIA spy leak was George W. Bush.
Yeah, George
no,
Bush
no, no, no. Scooter Libby never named her. Never. Her name was never spoken.
I mean,
it didn't. 1 + 1 = 2, and it didn't take people too long to figure out who they was talking about. So the fact that he had their
but
own
this
problem.
Name, but Diva, they put this name on a list and issued the list to the press.
Yeah. That's,
okay,
that's,
we
that's
can talk
point.
Schematics all you want, but the fact is, it happens in presidencies, and you can't make this one any worse than the previous one.
Tracy.
Hold on, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Tell somebody it was her own freaking husband that put it on the list with his stupid backward behind. That she was trying to send over to get information so that they could make Bush and them look bad. They sent him on a fake mission overseas in the first place. It was not Bush's fault that this happened. This was an inside job of the zealous Miss Valerie Plame and her husband. I forgot that idiot's name, but they're the ones that created that. So no, don't blame. Don't say this at all. This
her
is his own
like
hold
people.
Jeff, mute your mic when you're going to go talk to yell at people if they got to go to work. 440, your mic is on.
That was done on purpose. There's no doubt in my mind. And I mean,
you got to, we have a president, just he can't do anything right. He has done nothing except to make this whole country into shambles. It's just, it's a joke. He hasn't done anything except tear it down. End of the game. I mean, come on. If you think that wasn't on purpose, I got a bridge to sell you.
The thing is, Tracy gets frustrated. We keep comparing him to Carter, but he's doing everything that Carter's done. He's creating a false energy crisis, which Carter did. He's putting solar panels on the roof of the White House, which is what Carter did. He got an ambassador killed, which is what Carter did.
Did Carter get an ambassador killed?
Yeah. Iran.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, this is just Jimmy Carter reincarnated.
Okay. And y'all keep on... Right? But, you know, listen, Bush's grandson does not... Not Bush, but Carter's grandson does not like when you talk about his grandfather.
I really don't care what he likes.
You remember... You know what happened, right?
No, I didn't hear about this.
He was the one who leaked the... The tape of Romney with the 49%.
Oh, yeah, yep.
That was Carter's grandson. I keep on telling y'all.
He's running for state senate, I think, in Georgia, yeah.
I told y'all better leave the boy alone. The man don't like you talking about his granddad. And y'all keep on comparing this president with him. Why y'all keep on messing with him?
Well, the problem with Carter is
he didn't have any barbecues now.
He wasn't
every week
enough.
Celebrating that he's not the worst president in the last 50 years.
Well, you know, if the shoe fits.
I'm just saying, y'all keep on messing with the man.
No, Bush was not the worst president, you will see.
Obama
will show you
president.
It's going to be Obama and Carter, the two worst presidents
of
this
country.
Because
George
Bush was
the
one
that
got a
economic John.
Jeff.
Yeah, Stanley, hold up. Just call my name out, say something, and let me call you in instead of everybody talking all at the same time. Hold on.
President Obama would kill for George Bush's unemployment numbers the first 7 years of his presidency.
Go ahead, Stanley.
I'm sorry. George Bush was the worst president, and everybody internationally would tell you that. I'm sorry for the stupid
no,
thing that he did. We went to a – let me finish, Jeff. We went to a stupid war for a stupid lie. Let's not even go there.
There we go.
Okay, hold on, Jeff.
Second of all, another president that I hate, and a lot of people don't forget, it's your famous Ronald Reagan. That's another president that wasn't that great and smart. So let's not even go
I tell
there.
You what, I get my,
you don't wanna,
I get
you,
my
Jeff,
eyes.
Jeff, you don't want me to open the door with Ronald Reagan because, you know, if I open the door with Ronald Reagan, there's a lot of shit you're not proud of.
Stanley!
I give my eye teeth to have Ronald Reagan.
Hold on. Whoa, Stanley, you know better.
Sorry, I apologize, Tracy. There's a lot of things.
Listen, hold on.
Sorry.
Whoa, stop. Listen, apologies don't work when laws are concerned. You must watch your tongue. I can't. You guys do not realize we do not have a cough button here and or a delay. You must be careful.
Tracy friends. I like Tracy
I like
friends,
being
family.
On, and I cannot afford. For every time somebody says, that's because sorry will not cut it with them, and I don't have that kind of money. We won't be able to find people to pay the bill. Eric, take your phone off a speaker and go to a quiet place. Sit in the car while they're working on it.
Well, so far, Jeff, you'd be mad because an article which ranks the president so far, Obama's sitting at 15th best president out of 44. So,
exactly. Diva, can I tell you guys something? You don't rank
what?
Presidents while they're in.
I know
you
that. But I'm saying so far.
No. You must not know that.
Yeah, well.
You must not know.
Well,
no. You must not know that if you're ranking him while they're in.
Well, I would say this. I thought Reagan was a very horrible president just by living under him, but history has judged him differently. So it may be that I don't see history judging Obama as one of the worst. I don't see him as – I just don't see it.
Tracy.
I don't think he's the best either, but I don't think he's the worst.
Yeah, the worst president is going to be George Bush because it led to the economic collapse, and it was the policies of Bill Clinton – in combination with George Bush and the failure to regulate Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is going to be the worst mistakes in politics in modern history.
But George Bush George Bush attempted to rein in Fannie and Freddie, and the Democrats in the House and Senate refused to do it.
Right.
Hey, it's on his watch. Who cares? It's on his watch. I'm going with the way you're saying. You're saying Obama's on his watch. George Bush, that was on his watch. So he takes full responsibility for that part. That's it.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, now, once again, he can't take full responsibility for something he tried to change and they wouldn't let him change it. That's number one. Number two, that is not why he's going to go down, because the economic collapse was not caused by George W. Bush. The economic collapse was caused by several other things, plus one of the things we were committed against us at 9/11 was a economic attack that came through the radical Islamists and China and Russia. You're going to understand it. That's how history is going to see it, because they're going to see the truth of it. Number two, you have Jimmy Carter, who was a horrible president, had no control over foreign policy, just like this president does not have any control over it. In fact, he's given the stockroom away to the enemy overseas. And then going to pull out where you have no a standard of power, and you're going to have radical Islamic caliphate in the Middle East, which means you're going to make sure that the Battle of Armageddon happens real soon. That's what you're asking for. So, ride on with this, y'all. You know, have your fun. He's the worst president you've had. He hasn't had any. He's destroyed your energy sector. He's destroyed all these things. He's pouring this money into the stock market. Stock market looks like it's doing good. Yeah, he's the Obama doing good because the stock market is good.
Jeff, calm down.
The Investment Act, and George Bush was the one who was watching over the House when all of this occurred. The whole thing happened on his watch. So therefore,
Philadelphia? Did you see him send his people up to the Congress and try to stop it, and they would not stop it? They called it racist.
He tried to stop it after he realized he
had control of all of this stuff.
You know what? I am so upset with both of you. Y'all know y'all both cannot talk. Y'all know you can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Who else is out there? Who's 438? That's Stanley. Hi, South Carolina.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Listen, today is the grand blame game. Listen, people are entitled to their opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts. Facts are facts. Show what happened. Now, if you close a blind eye to it, then you're just one person that's going to be deceived for the rest of your life. I mean, come on, let's be realistic about this thing. What has happened so far? You've got a healthcare system that we're seeing what it's going to look like. All we got to do is look at the last 30 to 40 years of the VA system. That's what we're going to be looking at in the next 10 to 15 years, probably even faster than that.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are, Diva.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
You don't understand. You're talking about the VA. It has a set amount of dollars that it has access to. Okay?
Here's why VA is not going
to
fax.
Diva, let him finish.
They have to provide services to an ever-growing population. People get out of the military, they go into the VA system. Okay? What's going to happen if you get a huge influx of people with PTSD that haven't normally been serving in the VA system? We haven't had a war.
Here's why the VA is not going to be a factor. Because the VA has always been a problem.
I will not. Listen, I won't let you talk over everybody either.
I wasn't.
Hey,
I thought you were fine.
Hey,
no, you didn't. Yes, go ahead, Eric. Yeah,
I know this is off topic, but anybody out there want to loan me $649?
God, you got jokes now. What?
I just swiped my card and I need some help.
Ooh. What you need?
Brakes,
I can't help
strut,
you with
ball joints.
Brakes,
$649.73.
I can't. What's I can't give you $649. Yeah. I can't give you that. Because if you swipe my card, they're gonna come back and put us all in jail. So, we got a problem, Houston. But I can hook you up with a mechanic that can get it done.
Yeah.
Now I can hook you up with.
I just paid the money, so I'm up for donations. If anybody want to help me out.
I can't. No. Oh, you swiped the card already? Oh no, you shouldn't swipe the card. No,
yeah,
no.
I'm
no.
on my way home now. I'm on my way
no,
home
no,
now.
No, no, no. You don't swipe the card first and then ask for money. You get there, swipe the card, and the card say no. And then you ask for money, then we come and bail you out. But you don't swipe the card and let the bank say yes and then ask for money. No. That's not how that works. Hey, you know.
See?
Yes, yes.
Bill Schroeder put in
Fit Family.
Put in the room. He says that the we didn't go downhill until after the Democrats took control of both houses of Congress in early 2007, and that is absolutely true. And that's what people have to start looking
well,
at. Why
Jeff,
did it go
Jeff,
down?
Jeff, Jeff, Jeff,
just...
Jeff, can I say all this? We got 3 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
Eric made it very, very light on the way out. I know. You, what?
Too here. Much money.
It was when he asked me for it. He made it very, very light on himself because he's making jokey jokes, and that was a good way to go out, and you got to bring back in something deep. Y'all just can't get it. Lighten up. The president's going to be the president because, I don't know, because he keep on messing up with the veterans, and, you know, they're going to impeach him on their own. Because there's Republican and Democrat veterans, and they're not happy with it, man. At all. I'm even watching Democrats around here not be happy with the president and the VA administration. So he better raise up.
Hey, they didn't vote for him here anyway.
Oh yeah, they voted for the president.
You know, a lot of them guys weren't voting like that.
No, they did because you could see. You could see by the vote these crazy people around here. They voted for Mickey Mouse.
Well, they would do that too.
So you know, and Mickey Mouse is a fictional character. Speaking of which, tomorrow I'm going to bring up this young man in Santa Barbara. And the travesty of the killing of the lives, but and the mental health of what's going on with this. But I've really got a problem with how they're trying to spin this. Yeah, Eric, what'd you say? You need some more money?
Yes, I do.
Somebody give him 20 for gas. Then he got to drive over here and get it.
And then I got an open house coming up next month on top of that.
Ooh,
oh, don't mention
it. And speaking of which, I must tell you guys, and I saw this on Facebook the other day, so those of you that, when you offer people gas money nowadays, you got to give them more than $5.
Yes, please do.
$5 is no longer gas money. I don't know if you know that.
$5 will start the car.
You know, you can't hook a person up with $5 in gas money. It doesn't work anymore.
$5 will get you one tank of gas.
It'll get you what?
And a lawnmower.
$5
get you in a lawnmower.
One tank of gas and some change.
$5. It'll give you a gallon.
And the way gas is watered down now, $5 ain't even going to get you a real gallon.
Sure it will.
Right.
I mean, well,
me
with my hybrid,
that's what
it's
I mean.
Good
like 1 gallon. I'm sorry. 1 gallon of gas. That's what I mean. One gallon.
Me
all
with
right.
my hybrid, $5 will work. I still prefer more than $5. It's just not. It's not going to cut.
$5 is no longer gas money. You know, hook a butter up with gas money, it's more than $5. Yes, Sticks.
Well, at the CNG station.
Yes, Sticks, but we ain't giving you $5 because you got free gas.
No, I mean, at the pay station, CNG's only like $1.90 a gallon.
Then $5 is, well, yeah, I guess you get 2 gallons. You get 2 gallons of gas with that.
Yeah.
I went to the gas station the other day, and I saw somebody that they put $6 in. You know, there's a problem there.
$100 bill to fill a pickup truck.
Don't mention it. I got to just a regular SUV. Into Knowledge, how are you? I think you don't like me on because you call at the end of the day.
That is not true, Tracy. I always look forward to hearing your voice.
I just call in because I know the show goes into overtime and I can continue to listen. That's all.
Well, you can listen, but I'm never there. They won't let me be on. They won't let me be on my own show in overtime. The after show is without Tracy.
Okay.
So it's
well,
like friends.
Just know that it's not personal. It really is.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen, I got to go, and I'm at the end of the day, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, as I said, we're gonna bring up this. I've got to talk about the Santa Barbara and the mental health issue and how they're trying to spin this. I've got major issue with this because we don't want to deal with the elephant in the room. God bless you guys. Have a good day, and we'll see.
Don't everybody talk at once.
Oh, you still here?
Yeah, I went in for break. Yeah, I went in to have my break.
It was a great conversation we had yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
Stanley still here?
About the VA has been going on for a long time. The VA has always had problems, and they've had malpractice suits at the VA hospital more than any other hospital chain in most cities. Because what happens is the worst doctors usually are the ones that go to the VA.
Because they accept that dismal pay that they shell out. You ain't going to make no money there. The best doctors ain't going to be willing to go to a public institution like that where their pay grade is enacted by Congress. And Congress don't mind having lots of raises for themselves. But when it comes to civilian employees, no, ain't going to happen. So, yeah.
Well, what usually happens, a lot of the doctors that come from India and China that are practically new to the country, they're the ones that end up at the VA. So you find a lot of foreign doctors, and in a lot of cases, a lot of them have problems with English. They don't speak the language well. And I've heard a lot of people say they had a lot of problems at most of the VA hospitals, if they're in New Jersey or in Pennsylvania, they've had problems.
Mm.
If they're veterans and they go there. So what they end up doing is if they get private insurance and they go to the private hospital instead, and they don't even bother with the VA.
So, Jeff, not to mean to disregard what you were saying in Philadelphia, but we had a very, very interesting conversation yesterday after the show. And I had to really sit, because I was heated. Heated after we cut off when Stanley said, if a guy pays for your meal, what do you get? What does he get after the date?
Well,
the satisfaction
of the day, he doesn't get it.
I'm sitting there with you for the time that he took.
I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't say
anything. Right.
He didn't invite me out to have sex.
He's
together.
Not expected to be able to sleep with you after he pays for a meal.
Right. He didn't invite me out to have sex. He invited me out to dinner. So you invite me out to dinner, that's all you get. And I don't know how you expect anything more.
Yeah.
Where you at, Stanley?
Well,
he must be gone today.
But I would think that's what most men would that's how most men would try to interpret if they went on a date and they asked someone to dinner, they're expected to pay because that's the person who made the invitation. So whoever makes the invitation is the one who pays the bill.
That hence why I don't ask him.
The thing is people, you know, he was talking about these people that these girls are playing games. A guy comes and spends $200 on them, and then you know they don't do whatever with them.
No,
I'm saying,
no.
Don't nobody owe you nothing.
That guy should, but that guy should be able to tell what type of woman he's dealing with before he even gets into a situation where he's spending $200. So like, if he doesn't think that she's the type that's gonna put out, then what he needs to do is keep his money in his pocket.
Exactly. Because why do some men, I mean, think that just because some women are easily bought, then any woman they talk to is easily bought? That's not the case. Some of us females, you have to work very hard.
And what's happening now is it's all kind of sexual assaults on these college campuses, date rape and everything else, because a lot of these young boys have not been taught by their fathers how to conduct themselves around women. and they're raping girls and assaulting them and groping them, and you know, after they go on a date with them, if they get into a situation where they paid for something and the woman doesn't want to do anything, then they're turning around and trying to do a date rape on the girl or trying to assault the girl. And it's starting to get out of hand, and it basically, that's an indication that they have not been taught how to behave around the opposite sex. And it's happening a lot on college campuses today. It's a real problem.
But it's a problem when you also have a grown man who feels that because he's spending money on you, you have to put out. He's expecting you to put out.
Well, certain men who don't have a lot of experience with women are men who would think that. But if you are dealing with a guy who's been around, he knows what the ground rules are. And see, one thing, people only go by things that people say. But people who have some experience with things, I mean, like, they're able to read body language and they can read into situations before they happen. So if a guy knows women, he can tell if that woman is the type who's going to put out or not before he spends that kind of money.
Jeff, I have a question for you, because I know you have a daughter in college. Your daughter's going on a date, first date with this guy, and she tells you he took her to a restaurant and he used a Groupon. Can you know what a Groupon is?
No, what's that?
A Groupon is a coupon. If you buy into this service and you get all these nice coupons and discounts for things, all types of stuff. Now,
well,
this was me of a Facebook friend. I said, no, on a first date, you should not use a Groupon because first impressions are lasting impressions, and you do want to put yourself in a good light. A Groupon to me signifies, I don't care if you're driving a Benz, a Groupon to me signifies that you are a penny pincher. Or you may be a penny pincher. And I'm not dealing with penny pincher.
But Diva, now here's the thing. Why
well,
you
I don't have a daughter in college, but I would think
why
that.
But what I'm saying is, why you all up in his pocket, though? You
should
just go out and enjoy the meal, and if he has to pay for it with a Groupon coupon, then chill, just eat.
Not the first date. Because if you can't afford where you're taking me, I'd rather you not take me. I don't mind a first date being at a coffee place or whatever. But don't try to put yourself on this level and have me thinking certain, you know, expecting that you are on a certain level when you're really not. That shows to me that you're willing to do whatever it takes to make yourself look above what you are. See, for me, little things, all the little things matter and they add up. If you can't be honest in your financial situation, even on a date, then that means you may not be honest in other areas of your life either.
But that's not your business.
So I'm like, no, it's not that I'm going to go there. I just feel like, look, if you can only afford McDonald's, okay, I wouldn't go to McDonald's as a grown 30-some-year-old woman, but let's do a picnic. Let's do something else that's less expensive. Let's go to a museum or something else. You don't have to pick this nice, expensive thing to try to impress me. Just be honest. I value honesty above mostly anything else when it comes to a relationship. And when you start lacking honesty in just a little minute things, then I'm going to have a problem. Because I feel like
well,
you're
most people are not
going to
be honest on a first date. Most people put on a mask when they first meet someone. They don't reveal their true selves probably until like sometime further along after you've gotten to know them a little bit.
I get that, but people put out signals that I tend to pay attention to. And there's one, okay, you don't have to tell me all your business. I don't need to know all your business. I don't need you whining and crying about how bad your ex did me. I don't need to know your life story about how bad your mama did you, your daddy walked. I don't need to know all that. You can cover all that. But there are key things, because I'm not the type of person who dates just to date. I date basically in a courting fashion. I'm trying to get to know you because I'm trying to pursue a long-term relationship, possibly marriage. So there are things as a woman that I look for in the beginning to let me know if it's worthy of going on a second date, so worthy of me getting invested in.
Right.
So those are little things that I see. I pick up the red flags. And it saves me a lot of heartache, too. It saves me a lot of trouble. A lot of these men end up in a friend zone, And to this day, they can't understand why, but I'm like, there's just certain things about you that I for one, as a woman, wouldn't like in my man.
Mm-hmm. And it's those kind of red flags that fathers need to tell their daughters about. Those are the types of things that you look out for when your daughter first starts going out with men. Certain things that come up that, you know, she'll be able to tell exactly what type of man she's dealing with. So that she doesn't end up in a bad situation.
I had a horrible date when I was younger. This guy asked me out. I forget where we met at. He asked me out. He comes, he picks me up, and he's like, oh, I thought you were going to drive. That right there, you asked me out, and you want me to drive? So then I said, well, no, you know, I told you, you know, I'm old-fashioned values and everything, and you said you were fine with that, so why would I drive on a date? So he got upset and said, okay, I'll drive. Well, we're driving along. He says, well, I just want to let you know my license is suspended and the cops are always bothering me out here and such and such. And I'm like, the cops ain't going to just bother you for no reason. You're not a flashy person. You're driving around in a beater. So I'm thinking my first thing that popped up in my head was this cat must be a drug dealer. Most women would have overlooked that. So we end up getting pulled over. Cops pull me out of the car. I was like, how you know this guy? I said, you know what? I was set up with him by blah, blah, blah. This is the first time we've gone out. I've never hung out with him. He was like, well, yeah, he's known to us. He's known to be a drug dealer. He's known to have guns, and he's known to abuse women. So I'm like, do I go home? Do I tell him to just take me home, or do we continue on the date? So I decide, okay, fine. We're almost there. Let's continue on the date. Now we get there. The only thing he's doing is looking below my face. That's all he looked at throughout the whole thing. Now, here's a key I tell all women. You know if a man is capable of paying for your meal by what he orders. He orders a water. Okay, so not everybody's going to order an appetizer. He orders a water. So for entrees, he ends up ordering an appetizer. So I'm like, okay, why would you, it's late at night, you're telling me you're hungry, but you order an appetizer and you order the cheapest appetizer on the menu. So in my mind, I'm like, he doesn't have any money. Do you know by the end of the day, I found out he did not have any money? I sent him to the ATM machine to pay for his meal, and I paid for my own meal and went home and never talked to him again. These are things
if he was doing things that are illegal, whether he paid for everything in cash, he didn't have a credit card.
I don't know what he had. I didn't even bother to ask. He just said, oh, you know, at the end of the day, he went to the bathroom. He comes back and said, I left my wallet at home. I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, sure you did. You expected me to pay for the date. I got you. You tried to, you know, run game. And I said, well, I'm going to pay for my meal, and then I'm going to catch a ride home, and you can pay for your meal. I don't know what he did. I went home.
Well, but the sad part about it, a lot of black women, especially it depends on what kind of home they grew up in, a lot of them are attracted to that bad boy type, a guy who's living on the edge.
I'm not.
It's sad to say, but a lot of African-American women, they tend to want to go out with those types of people because I know a lot of people who were more, student-like and they were, you know, trying to pursue a particular career, and they had a hard time trying to get a date. And they were black men who were, you know, trying to go to college, or they didn't have a lot of money in their first few years out of college, and they had a hard time trying to attract black women.
Because the thing about it, here's the thing. Black women, we have to struggle to make ends meet at a very young age. You know what I'm saying? We see our black mother struggling, and then at a certain age, we struggle, especially if we've gone without for a long time. We want a man who's going to provide and take care of us, provide us with things we never had. It makes no sense for both of us to struggle together. But what a lot of black women fail to realize is what a lot of black women fail to realize is when a black man is going to college, he has a much better chance of being successful. You have a much better chance of having a better life than dealing with a drug dealer who's going to end up in and out of prison, who don't know how to stack his money right. Then he ends up in jail. He falls off. He comes out. He ain't got no money. Then you sitting there wondering what you're going to do. and then it's a cycle that happens all over again. But they don't they don't know how to value the long term. They're just thinking about the here and now.
But also, it takes a long time to build up wealth. And when a man first comes out of college, he's not going to have any kind of wealth right away, especially if he's African-American and he's not a person who comes from wealth. The difference between black and white is that a lot of white men, they have options in terms of they have different types of social networks they can rely upon to get jobs that a lot of black men don't have. Currently, when you look at an industry like the IT industry or the technology industry, over 98% of the men that are in that industry, they happen to be white or Asian.
I don't know, because I'm
going to
be honest with
you. Men who major in things like computer science and technology and so forth, they have a very hard time if they try to get into those types of IT companies like out in California. They have a very hard time getting hired.
Well,
so,
where I live at, I'm come across a lot of white males who are poor. The only difference between them and black males in poverty is that black males tend to go out and sell drugs.
Yeah,
the white guy who is in poverty, he'll work a real low paying job. He ain't got no money to take no woman out. He ain't got no money to live on his own. Maybe if he does have an apartment, he's barely making it. And that's
right,
the difference.
But what I'm talking about
is
black males and white males who have a comparable skill level. So I'm saying that the white male who has a high skill level, and certainly you have more white males currently in the country than you have black males. So therefore, you know, it's going to follow that you're going to have more white males in poverty. But what I'm saying is if you compare a white male with a certain skill level and a black male with a certain skill level, the white male usually has social networks and other types of networks that allow him to get employment at, you know, basically almost at a rate that's twice, like in terms of what the black male is able to do. And that's what I'm saying is when you look at certain industries, especially the technology industry today, the number of black males that are in those large companies out in California, I mean, like the actual, you know, types of percentages, like 2 or 3%. And you have a lot of black males who graduate from school with degrees in computer science and engineering and technology, but they're not able to get hired by those large companies. And that's what I'm saying is that the average white male who comes from that type of upper middle class home, they have things that happen to be to their advantage, which is unfair in terms of their chances of getting into, you know, a very good job. And that's why you don't see a lot of black males at these large firms. You know, like these firms could be technology firms, could be law firms, or whatever. You don't see high percentages of black males at these places. And what they're starting to do, instead of hiring black, they'll hire Asian first. They'll hire Indian or Chinese. And that's across the board. You could be talking about large hospitals, law firms, firms that deal with technology, as across the board. Anything in the private sector, the highest numbers in terms of males is white and Asian across the board. And that's why these debates about affirmative action are so important, because if they don't base affirmative action on race, the percentages of African Americans is going to drop. In terms of their ability to go to top-tier colleges and their ability to get hired by these top-tier firms, it's going to drop in a very dramatic way, because then they don't have to base their choice on race anymore. They can just say, well, I think this person's more qualified. This person has higher test scores. They have 3 or 4 years of experience at a top firm.
So I'm going to take this person, and 9 times out of 10, that person is Chinese or white, or, you know, or it, I mean, the person is either Chinese, Indian, or white. And that's basically what's happening out here today. And that's what I was trying to explain to the other caller. He didn't seem to understand that.
But I don't think when it comes down to basic relationships, I just don't see that as an excuse for why black relationships are failing. I just don't see how you can say, okay, I see where you're coming from. But when it comes to relationships and the failure of relationships, the marriage rate in black communities, especially in the inner city, I just see how it seems to me men have given up.
And well, these are men
who think that they are a valuable asset. I have a friend, a great friend, I've known him a long time. He is very entrepreneurial. I helped him get his business started. You know what I'm saying? I was his assistant for a while, and he's doing great. Will he make a great husband? No. Why? Because there are some qualities and some aspects about him that it's going to be hard. Some sisters might, I see a lot of brothers have this mentality of they have, because they are so successful, that they have, basically they can be very picky. And so they want a certain type of female, they want this and they want that. And yet,
those types of lessons to what to look for in a woman, that comes from the family unit. You know, that comes from the fact that they're influenced by what the media says is attractive and what you should look for in a mate. And they don't have a lot of black men don't have a father figure to tell them what the qualities are that are important
but
in a female or a mate.
But see, no, that's not true, because the problem that I have, I see the best of the fathers sometimes are the ones who grow up without a father. I see the worst of the fathers are the ones who grew up with a two-parent household. I see the best of the men who want to treat and care to their woman are the ones who grew up without their father. These are the people who I come across.
Well, that may be true in some circumstances, but usually people operate in their adult life based upon what they've been taught in their childhood. And I think that's the case for most individuals. Now, you have some people who would try to overly compensate for the fact that they only had a single mother, and they had to teach a lot of things, they had to learn things on their own. But most people who happen to be productive as adults in terms of their marriages, they were taught things as a child which helped them in terms of their time as an adult and as a husband. And that's one thing that you don't have with the African-American males. You don't have that family unit from a very young age that's able to guide him into his adult years.
You would be surprised what goes on in the white community. They just don't put it out there, I'm going to tell you. You'd be surprised. I've come across some white guys, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, listening to you filled up in no offense and listening to other black people, you would think that the white community has no problems. They don't have the problems.
No, I'm not saying they don't have any problems.
I mean,
I'm saying
they
that
have
there
some
are.
Sorry-ass, sloppy men, too. I have a friend who, they have some deadbeat dads as well.
I'm not saying they don't have problems. I'm saying that they do have advantages that society has in place if they come from a certain type of economic strata. I'm saying that there are advantages there. And if anybody would try to deny that,
I think anybody who comes from a certain economic advantage will gain access more so than someone who comes from a lower economic situation. The world will open up for Will Smith's family, for his daughter
and his son will probably never
open up for my daughter.
Well, he's an entertainer. I'm talking about black kids who come from families where they have a father that's a doctor, they have a mother that's a lawyer, and they have people who are professionals in their family. They still face a lot of obstacles when they try to get into the white-collar world.
more so than the same person who's their white counterpart who comes from a similar background, and that person has been to and that person has also been to like a top tier college as well. So what I'm saying is these advantages are definitely based on race.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to figure out how does that fit into relationships and the dynamic of relationships.
But a lot of relationships are based on economics.
Someone else's affluence and how much access they have in society has no bearing on my relationship and me trying to find a steady, stable relationship, a guy that I can marry. I'm just speaking if I was single because that's not the case anymore. But when it was the case, me trying to find a steady, stable relationship was difficult. And I don't see how anyone else's affluence could has a factor in that.
Well, because most people, based on how good the relationship is going to be, based upon how much money the other person has and what type of lifestyle they can provide for them. And most marriages break up because of money. I mean, that's the case if you're talking about white or black people. So,
yeah, that's one cause of divorce is finances.
Yeah,
number one cause of finances. A wife will stay with you if you cheat. She might stay with you if you cheat. But if you messing up with the money and y'all arguing over money a lot, no, that's the quickest way she's going to leave. And it's not because we're gold diggers. You got some women out here who are gold diggers. It's just the fact I don't want to struggle. I've struggled all my life. I've struggled as a single parent. I don't feel that I should have to struggle when I have a husband.
Right. And that's the way most people feel. They don't want to go through a struggle. They don't want to be with somebody who's struggling, and they have to struggle too.
Now, if we're in a marriage and things fall apart and we got to pick ourselves up, we got to start all over again, not because of your stupidity, but because just certain factors, things happen, I can deal with that. Most people can deal with that. But it goes back to knowing who you're dating, getting in a relationship with somebody who is like-minded and of like values.
Definitely. I mean, you have to be with someone that have the same goals as you have.
Not necessarily. I can't have the same goals as the person I'm with. I mean, he has I support his goal. I'm on board with it. His goal is to build his business into a multi-million dollar business. I can't do that work.
But one thing I've heard from black males who were in the college and were trying to get graduate degrees and so forth, they said they would rather go out with a white female because the white female is someone who's going to work with them. They're not going to expect to have the home, to have the lavish home overnight. A lot of black females don't understand. It takes time to build up.
See, here's
like
my thing.
Wealth.
My thing is, here's the thing that I've noticed. Is that a black guy will be with a homey white girl, a homely-looking white girl, but he expects for the black girl to be looking like a model. When you go after them types, they're going to have certain expectations. She's going to expect certain things. It's about knowing who you're going after. You can't go after the model chick who is high maintenance.
You have to have realistic expectations. And what I've heard black men who were who happened to be on that track, they said that a lot of the black women who are attractive, they don't have expectations that are real. I mean, they expect the man to be a basketball player and have a $1 million salary overnight.
Again,
it doesn't work.
Again, who are these women that they're going after? If they're going after a female because they go to a club and she's beautiful and she has to be in that club and she ain't in college along with you, then yeah, what you expect? What surroundings was she brought up in? I mean, you can't fault her for wanting, expecting something different and not wanting you.
But even the ones who are going to college, if they're attractive and they know that a lot of men are after them, they automatically kind of assume that the next man they're going to happen to meet is going to be the jackpot. He's going to be a multimillionaire. So therefore, the main thing in her mind is why waste her time with someone who she knows doesn't have that type of cash
I have a hard time.
Right away.
I was in college. Now, there was two groups of black females. There was the serious ones about their education, wanting to marry a doctor, lawyer, judge, future judge or something. We understand that those guys have to finish out their education. Then you have the ones who wanted to be just part of the party life, want to have fun, not take anything serious. If you are serious about your education and you go on somewhere in life, why would you go after a female like that who's not serious about their own life and just want to have fun?
Well, but
and yourself
but
for heartache.
People, but most people are attracted by what they see first. I mean, most people are going to pursue someone if they find someone attractive, like from their physical appearance. But what I'm saying is that.
Well, then you can't get mad when that person turns you down or rejects you. Or want someone else because.
Yeah, but the only thing I'm saying is that the black females who have that physical appearance, they're attractive. Their expectations are not realistic. They
You're generalizing.
Men.
You're generalizing in your broad and you're painting black women with a broad brush.
Well, but basically, what I'm saying is I'm basing my statements. Based on my own observations, they think they're going to hit the jackpot overnight. They're going to find a multimillionaire type man who's going to take care of them and is going to give them the lavish lifestyle that they think they deserve. So, therefore, their whole rationale is, why waste my time with someone who is going to take him 5 to 10 years to build up any type of economic nest egg when, you know, there might be a man tomorrow.
Where are you coming across females, Philadelphia? Men like that, I have to say, y'all need to broaden y'all circle. Because I assure you that a lot of females, black females, are not like that. We just want to be loved. We want to trust. We want to have trust. And we want someone that we can actually be females with.
But look, I'm not saying just black females. I'm saying females in general. I mean, the female could be white, Hispanic, Asian, black, whatever. I'm saying that's the rationale. If a female knows that she's attractive and she knows that a lot of men are trying to pursue her, that's her thought pattern. Is that?
But that's not the thought pattern of all beautiful women. That's
a small group
of beautiful women.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, that's the thought pattern. That's the thought patterns of women who, you know, happen to know that they're beautiful and they know that a lot of men are in pursuit of them.
No. I'm saying is that's a small percentage of beautiful women because not all beautiful women think that way.
Well, but you do have a lot of them who do think that way because we are in
a lot of
society, that's very materialistic, and people do place their value based upon what they own and how much money they have in the bank.
Right. Don't nobody want to live in a box. Nobody want to live in a shoebox, especially if I came from.
I'm not saying everybody. Everybody wants to live in a box, but some people do have lifestyle choices which are more expensive than others.
But you have to look at
at
females' mentality. This is why I say. I don't get mad when a guy will not date me because of my conservative values, family values. I'm very old-fashioned. I don't kiss on the first date. I don't have sex on the first date. I don't have sex outside of marriage. Okay? So that, living in today's society, basically cut me off from dating. Nobody wanted to know, oh, you're a beautiful girl. Let me get your number, start talking, go on a first date. Explain to them these are my values. Okay, well, second date, they might think that they could change my mind. They spend all this money on me. It doesn't change, so it falls off. I don't get mad because I understand this person is not for me. I'm not for that person. And that if that person wants to have somebody that this is how they want their significant other to be, I'm not going to get mad. And lump everybody the same way. Just like you cannot lump every female, every beautiful female the same because there are some beautiful female who expect to be treated like princesses and give nothing in return. They want it, their microwave bowl, and they want it now. and they don't want to wait.
What I found is if a black female is dealing with a male who she perceives as being kind of nerdy, he's into the church, he's trying to get a graduate degree, it's going to take him a long time to get his career off the ground. She's going to, you know, she's more attracted to the athletic type guy who's kind of edgy, and he has, you know, a halfway decent job.
Women
maybe
are
like
attracted to confident. I'm going to tell
you,
I'm going to let you in on
Philadelphia.
Women are attracted to confidence, and usually the nerdy guy is lacking confidence.
No, that's not always the case. That's not because
I said usually.
But some people may be very confident in terms of their, you know, in terms of their abilities, to like hone their intellect. So
okay, but
people
different.
Have different levels of confidence.
If you're gonna approach a beautiful woman, okay, if you approach a beautiful woman, you coming off as nerdy and shy. She is actually any woman. She ain't feeling it sometimes. We like a man who confidently approaches.
I'm not saying that every man is going to be nerdy and shy. What I'm saying is that a lot of, I'm speaking of like African-American females right now, is that a lot of them are into the athletic guy who's kind of edgy, kind of on the edge somewhat. They're not into the church-going guy.
Again,
I'm telling you, it goes deeper.
It goes deeper than him just being a church nerd or an athlete. It goes deeper than that. It's to the point where it goes deeper than that. It goes back to confidence. The fact of the matter
it's not always confidence, because people can be confident in different things in aspects of their lives.
Okay.
So it's
Philadelphia.
Not always this.
You can be confident
this
while you're taking a test.
Where the man happens to appear to be someone who's very masculine, and like, you know, he happens to be someone who's kind of tall, who has an athletic body, and she automatically assumes that exists confidence. People can have different types of confidence.
No, it's not even it's how you approach is what I'm trying to say.
But also everybody is not going to be very smooth. And it's going to have, like that type of delivery where they'll be able to, you know, talk the woman
then,
off.
Then you're going to have to work on that. You're going to have to work on it because there are times where you see a beautiful woman with an ugly
man. Not a confident person. But that doesn't mean he's not a confident person in terms of the pursuit of his goals and his belief that he can do certain things in terms of his career. I mean,
Philadelphia, again.
He
could
be a very
matter.
Confident person.
It doesn't matter if you're confident in pursuit of your goals and everything. If you're not confident.
So it's all about perception.
If you're not,
Philadelphia. What your individual perception is.
Philadelphia, if you're not confident enough to boldly step to a woman without coming off as shy and awkward, then
But people have different personality types.
Females are not attracted to
like
shy
and
awkward
or whatever, and talk like a Mac or whatever like that. That's not going to be every man.
It doesn't. It's not about talking like a Mac. It's just about feeling confident. I noticed once I went to church. Went to church with this one nerdy guy. Okay, very nerdy, very geeky, but he was very confident in himself. You know what I'm saying? He was short. He was about my height, which is 5'3", but he had a tall presence about himself. He didn't have trouble talking to women. He didn't have trouble engaging women. And most time, men have a hard time engaging me for whatever reason. But he was very confident. I told him, I said, you know, you keep that confidence, you will soon find your wife. It doesn't matter how beautiful she is or whatever. I said, you be confident in yourself. Know who you are. And when you step to her, you step to her
boldly. I think what you're talking about is a media type confidence where people see the guy who's a playboy and he's able to.
You don't have to be a wait a minute, Philadelphia. You do not have to be a playboy to be confident. You just have to be a man.
But what I'm saying is it's your perception of what confidence is. Confidence can come in different forms.
All right.
Confidence can come when a person's on a job, they're very confident that they can do their job well. Confidence
okay.
can be different
things.
Okay, so
here, you're missing it because we're talking about the terms of female-male relationships. If you are trying to step to a female, you got men who you now you were saying that women will only go for athletic type, this blah 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 blah. What I'm saying is the reason why women tend to go for the athlete over the nerd is because the athlete exudes confidence. He is confident about himself. He is confident about stepping to that woman. He has no problem in that woman's presence. When she, hold on, when she knows that he is confident about and will step to her boldly, she sees him as a protector. She doesn't see him as weak. When a man cannot boldly step to a female who is generally supposed to be the weaker sex, that shows weakness. She feels he cannot protect her if need be. So perceptions, whether right or wrong, perceptions in the immediate meeting of a person means a lot. That's the difference between being rejected or accepted.
But what I'm saying is that if you are a deep person, you have to get to know someone and you have to find out the confident parts of their life. And it's not always going to be projected in terms of their conversation.
This is what this is why men get rejected. This is exactly why men get rejected. This is why men get rejected. Because women tell y'all what we want, what we desire in a man, and y'all don't listen. This is why men get rejected.
Well, that's not the only reason why men get rejected.
That is the number one reason.
The main reason why a lot of men who are very good men get rejected is because they don't fit the stereotype that the media puts out there as to what a female is supposed to look for in a man.
That's not true because you see some ugly men with
family influence to tell them what a good man is and what type of man that she needs to be looking for.
That's not true because you have some very unattractive men with some very attractive females. And the key to that is the reason why those two clicked.
People watch too much television.
Reason why those two clicked is because he was able to step to her boldly and confidently. When you, the initial attraction, the first impression is everything. It will make or break you whether you take a chance or not.
The first impression is everything, but once you get to know someone and you get to know them better,
that's
when
our problem.
Real attraction should occur.
You're right, but this is the problem why nice guys. This is the problem why nice guys finish last. This is the problem why nice guys finish last because y'all don't listen. Y'all expect I got all these good qualities. All she has to do is just get to know me. That's not going
to
work.
But what I'm trying to say to you, everybody's not going to fit that mold of being like Denzel or like Michael Jordan. Everybody's not going to be able to make that confident first impression. But what I'm saying is if you're dealing with a female who's deep in her personality and deep in her thoughts, she's going to be the type of person where she's going to want to get to know you over time, and then she'll be able to build an attraction based on the qualities that she sees in you over a period of time.
Philadelphia.
But she's not going to make her
final decision. I don't care how deep she is. Philadelphia.
Based upon that initial conversation.
I don't care. Philadelphia. I don't care how deep or intellectual she is. If you step to her and your delivery is weak, you have lost. You have lost your shot.
Well, look. I mean, first of all, I don't understand what you mean by a person's delivery is weak because.
Okay.
That's all a matter
some
of perception
men
based
women.
On stereotypical conversations that you've heard over the media, things that, and like,
what the heck are you
talking
about, conversations
what
that I've heard stereotypical over the meeting? No, Philadelphia, I have girlfriends, I have cousins, we talk, we sit and talk,
sex.
You do know that, women talk.
You can talk.
Why'd you reject that dude? That seemed like a nice
but
guy.
Every man is not going to fit that mold. Every man is not going to fit the mold of the type of man who's going to have all the catchphrases and all of the stereotypical at the time of that initial encounter. That's not going to happen with every man.
Well, it's not about catchphrases. It's about your stature. It's about how confident how she's picking up that you are confident in actually stepping to her and talking
to her.
That's
a matter of perception.
You have to be, okay, it don't matter. It doesn't matter whether
that's
you agree or not, but that's how it
that,
is.
And
if you are going after a woman and you're getting upset because women are rejecting you, this
is
why nice guys finish last.
By the media, if you don't have someone who is able to guide you to what to look for.
No. The fact of the matter is nice guys finish last because y'all don't listen. You don't listen to what you want. Nice guys tend to want to step to that very confident, beautiful woman. Okay? But yet you can't understand why she's rejecting you. The reason why she's rejecting you is because you're not listening to other beautiful women like her who is telling you what needs to happen in order for you to be able to get a woman like that. You can be broke as a joke. You can be broke as a joke, or you can be going places. As long as you're going places. But the fact
of
the matter is you don't.
The reason why she's rejecting that man who's a very good man because she has these expectations like you see with women.
No,
it's
not.
TV shows like
it's
The Real
not.
Housewives of Atlanta
it's not.
And Basketball
it's
Wives.
Philadelphia.
The majority of women do think
Philadelphia.
The way these,
I promise you.
That you see on television are.
Philadelphia, I promise you. That's why you have ugly men who are not attractive with beautiful women.
Yeah.
Why do you have non-attractive men with beautiful women? I'm not talking about rich people. I'm not talking about celebrities. I'm talking about average day Joe Smoes, because not all beautiful people gravitate towards each other. So tell me, have you ever seen a woman, and you'd be like, man, she fine. What's she doing with that dude? Did you ever wonder how that dude ended up pulling her?
Well, I can't speak for every case. I'm saying, based on my own observation, is that a lot of women who think they have everything going on for themselves, they have unrealistic expectations about what they're looking
for. Well, I'm going to tell you like Tracy tells you. You need to broaden your observations.
That's the reason why they automatically dismiss a lot of people who could be very good people in their lives.
Your observations
are
clouded in a bubble. Your observations are clouded in a bubble.
No.
They are.
My observations are not in a bubble. I mean,
all you have to do is ask yourself how can an attractive a non-attractive man pull a very attractive woman? How did that happen?
Well, there could be a lot of things involved. I mean, it could be his background in terms of his financial background.
He don't have no money.
Personality,
yes.
It could be his personality. And it also could be his performance in bed, like in terms of his sexual performance in bed.
How are you going to attract her if they didn't have sex? The first meeting is how he even got to the point where they're having sex.
Well,
attraction happens. No, attraction.
What can happen is
after
that initial encounter in bed, like if he was someone who wasn't good, that would be a definite turnoff, and I'm sure she would start looking for somebody else. So evidently, he must have passed that first step.
That happens with attractive men too. But again, how is it that a non-attractive man can step to a very attractive woman and end up getting her phone number?
Basically, what I said is you could have a lot of variables involved. I can't think.
She don't know nothing about him. She don't know he got money. She don't know whether he got money or not. She don't know what type of job he got.
Go out with an attractive. The only thing I'm saying is this.
Right.
A lot of people today are heavily influenced by the media. You know, and because if they don't come from a strong family unit where they've been taught certain things in life, they go by stereotypical behavior. That's my conclusion.
I think while you're saying that a lot of people go out by the media, I think a lot of your perception is based off what you see in the media as well. Because in the real world,
it's not based on what I've seen.
No, in the real world, you don't have a lot of women going around being. You don't have a lot of women just trying to get the baller shot caller. You have a lot of young girls
who are like that,
but they're not women. You get up in the older age range, that's not
I happen to be a person who, I happen to be an individual who's been on their own since the time that they were a teenager, and they worked since they were a teenager, and I've dealt with different kinds of people over a long period of time. So I'm not somebody who's a novice to different types of human behavior. So what I'm saying is that
I'm pretty sure we've all been subjected to different types of people.
Right. So what I'm saying is that based upon my own life experience, that this is what you find today.
This is why I say that your experience is in a bubble. Because
well, but what I'm trying to explain to you is that my experience is not in the bubble, and as I said, I'm a person who's worked
it
from
is,
the time
if
they
that's
were a
all
teenager,
you're seeing.
And I've worked different kinds of jobs, and I've dealt with different types of people from people who were rich, people who were poor. So, you know,
Philadelphia,
and,
if that's
so,
all you are seeing is that
so
aspect,
my
is and
not,
it is in a bubble.
So my experience is not in a bubble.
It is. If that's all that you are seeing, your experience is in a bubble. Because if you're
well,
not,
not
if you're not in
it's
a bubble,
not.
Then you're going
to
have several different experiences.
I
can't
I
say.
I disagree. My experience is not in a bubble.
Okay.
And this
all
is
right.
just the, you know. Because I mean,
the real world
general,
doesn't operate. The real world, you encounter
I mean, this is
different
general,
experiences.
The way that people are today. So,
you have
so,
one outlook. You have one outlook
so
at how relationships
that,
are and how.
So
Mel
having said that, I'm
going
to have to hang up now. I'm going to have to hang up now.
Okay.
But it's been nice talking to you.
You too.
All right.